go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. February is gone. Granted, the first day of March 2019 feels very February here in the hills and hollers of almost level West Bicol Trump Virginia stand, but February is in fact gone. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid, and pardon a little bit of reverb there that you didn't even hear. I did. It was annoying. I got up, about 5:30 this morning, chugged down a couple of cups of decaf, and then toddled over for Car Repair Friday. Ow, that stung. Yeah, but we're making progress. Not done, but making progress. So, glory. I want to thank everybody who got us through February, and let you know that a new month begins, and as quick as we get fundraising knocked out, we'll have fundraising free radio in March too. But being as how it is the first day of the month, we have a challenge that comes around the first day of every month. And so, consequently, Shirley's challenge is on the table to the tune of $200. And we have to thank for that. We have our buddy Gary, Laborman, out in New Mexico, and our buddy Ralphs in Wisconsin, and an anonymous contributor who wishes to remain that way for a total of $200. And those challenges are there. If the challenges are met, then we've made a good start for the beginning of March. We also have thanks to send out this fine day for our first day of the month subscribers. Thank you to Sharon, and thank you to Philip. Oh, wait, no, that's the wrong day of the month. Sorry. I mean, thanks, but that's the wrong day of the month. There we go. Yeah, thank you to Peter, and thanks very kindly to Joseph. Thanks as well to Rusty for being a partial sponsor of the program. Thank you very kindly to our buddy at Home Dirts, and thank you very much indeed to Smitty. Thanks kindly to Terry in Amherst, where only the H is silent. Thanks as well to Lauren on the far frozen reaches of the Rockies, our West Virginia of Kentucky correspondent, of Canada rather, correspondent in Alberta. And thanks very kindly to Harold, president and CEO of Sochtris, the secret open carry Happy Trails Roundup Society. Thank you, Harold. And thanks to Clarence, formerly of Philly, now I believe of somewhere in an undisclosed location in South Carolina stand. Those are our subscribers for the first day of the month. Thank you very, very kindly indeed. And then we have further thanks that make Shirley's challenge even simpler for this evening. Thanks going out to Otto, and thanks going out to Suman for putting a second challenge on the table, running the total challenges available this evening up to $250. You might recall Suman promised a matching challenge, in regard to the chicken fall, the hottest of all curries. And as soon as it warms up, that's going to happen. I'm going to fire up the grill outside and get busy. But Suman sent a note saying, regarding Governor Doug Ducey, Thursday's podcast, and March fundraising, may I suggest that when you refer to our governor here, please call him, as we do over here, Doug Douchebag. He was the one who was concerned about Confederate statue removal in Virginia. Perhaps the douche forgot which state he's the governor of. Meanwhile, I got my little bonus, and as promised, I sent $50. I know I said I'll contribute after you have the chicken fall meal, but I figured the earlier the better. If somebody matches the 50, I'll contribute another $25. Let me know when you and John Britovo are ready for the meal. I'd love to do the split screen thing. I'll get my bottle of scotch ready. Why let a good excuse to drink slip by? Indeed, indeed. And I'll have a tall, cool glass of buttermilk on hand to put out the fire, just in case that might be necessary. Mm-hmm. So thanks, Suman. There's actually $250 worth of challenges on the table. 20 of it's been met, so that means 230 to go. And if we knock that out, we will be off to a good running start for the month of March 2019. Thank you, one and all, for helping to keep this little experiment in liberal, independent, progressive broadcasting alive and kicking for as long as you have. And they're already getting us started. Is Charlene in Rogues Island? So that would mean that we're down to 180. Only 7 minutes into the program and already down to 180 to finish off the challenges that are on the table. So Suman's has been met, and $20, thanks to Otto, has been met of Shirley's challenge. And hopefully there won't be we won't have to wait too terribly long to get that knocked out. This is, of course, Friday on the Front Porch. And that means that here in about 50 minutes or so, we'll gather together in the old holler tree where we keep the extraordinary ordinary round table. And remember, we rent the old holler tree from the Keebler elves. They gave us a nice deal. And like I said, about 50 minutes, we'll gather together there under the capable moderatorship of the longtime moderator of Friday on the Front Porch, namely Sparky. And remember, we've got a new thing going on with Friday on the Front Porch. If you want to participate in the Friday on the Front Porch roundtable, extraordinary, ordinary roundtable that it is, then you need to run over to headon.live. There's a link at the top of the page. Click that, and it will carry you into the Skype conversation. Okay? So that makes things a little bit simpler, I think, in the long run. All right, then. That takes care of the housekeeping. I think we can safely say that March has come in like a lion. It was cold and nasty and foggy. Pea soup going across the New River Gorge Bridge this morning. I mean, as in couldn't see. Slowed way down and put the flashers on 876 feet above the canyon floor. And just hope that everybody was as, careful in the fog as I was being. Made it over there, got the repairs done, got home at about 4. So spent a total of about 8 hours doing that. Fun. And then tried to pull together. I did. I've been reading all along. There's not a lot to do while the car's being worked on except, that. Doing prep for the evening. So this evening I have a feeling there will be plenty to talk about. But I want to start with something that David in South Carolina Stan sent to me earlier. these things, I don't know. Maybe, you know, maybe the stars will realign. Oh, come on. We don't believe in that. But damn, this is weird. It seems to be happening more and more often these days. Oh, by the way, if you'd like to, don't hesitate to jump into the Extraordinary Merry Madcap Wacky Zany Real-Time Multimedia Extravaganza that is the Horn Chat Room. Just click on Chat Room at HeadOn.live, pick yourself out a screen name and a password, and jump right in. You'll be immediately greeted by the likes of Darn Tootin and Jimmy in the Great Northwest and the aforementioned Otto, Sentient, Squeaky, VT Blom, and Warrior Witch, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a Spacing Guild master, has, and he hasn't been folding a lot of space lately, but being a Spacing Guild master, Sparky folded space and did it twice. So he's in the chat room both as Sparky and Man Cave. It's not just everybody that can do that. Don't try that at home. Sparky is a trained Spacing Guild professional. Okay? We'll be missing, if I understand correctly, we will be missing our dear friend, pinch-hit midweek chat room utility moderator, and all-around great guy. This is me opening a 12-pack of Diet Pop. Steve from Georgistan. I'm of the understanding that that Ms. Karen is feeling a mite poorly. So I think Steve is tending to her well-being. Get well soon, Ms. Karen. Please do. Now, let me see something. Make sure I've. Yes. Okay. So, fundraising has now dropped down to $153.94. $153.94. Thank you to David in South Carolina, Stan. Which leads me back to the story. Again, this is something that seems to happen rather often lately. You may recall last night that I was mumbling along about some miserable, godforsaken bit of white wingery, wing nuttery, and said, yeah, nothing in here to, you know, nothing, no tequila, no bourbon, not a blessed thing. And then I said something like, not even so much as a bottle of vanilla extract. Well, imagine what I saw this morning, courtesy of David in South Carolina, Stan. No, this isn't earth-shattering. This isn't the hot news of the day. I figure everybody else has already taken a good run at that. This is just the weird kind of stuff that happens here at the Horn. You know, if you're a regular listener to this program, you know that you're so far out in front of the curve that it's like being on a straight road. I mean, if you want to know what the news is gonna be, and you listen here, you'll have it about 2 days before the multimillionaire for-profit media gets their hands on it. So, Dateline Atlanta, Georgia. And this is a real website. 11 Alive is a TV station there in Hotlanta. It comes out of Grady High School, named, I think, for Henry Grady, the legendary publisher of the Atlanta Journal or the Atlanta Constitution or what eventually became the Atlanta Journal Constitution. Hospital in Atlanta named for him as well. But Dateline Atlanta, students of Grady High School in Atlanta are apparently getting drunk from vanilla extract, according to a posting by the school on Facebook. The post featured a picture of Trader Joe's brand Pure Bourbon Vanilla Extract, which contains 35% alcohol, which means that it is, in fact, 70 proof. You know, your average bottle of rum or vodka or whatever, gin, is about 80 proof. According to the people posting the story, this is not an indictment of Trader Joe's at all, but parents, please be aware that this product contains 35% alcohol, and we have discovered that some students have consumed this intoxicant. Another thing to keep an eye out for. It was nice of them to say that they weren't trying to goon on Trader Joe's, but here's the thing. Most vanilla extract is of a similar alcohol content. The story goes on to say that school officials said that a few Grady students were caught getting drunk off vanilla extract this week. The teens bought the flavoring at a store close to the school and poured it in their coffee. Atlanta school officials did not state how much of the vanilla extract students drank, but one student was reportedly hospitalized afterward. The student's parent removed him from Grady after the incident. Vanilla extract can be dangerous. It's the same kind of alcohol that's in a bottle of booze or a bottle of beer or a bottle of wine. And Robert Geller, medical director for the Georgia Poison Center, said, when something says extract or elixir, people should be aware that that usually means there's alcohol in it. 1 4-ounce shot of vanilla extract is equal to drinking 4 shots of vodka. Apparently, there's nothing particularly toxic about the extractive that comes from that miraculous little Mexican orchid that only blooms once a year and yields the vanilla so-called bean. But they point out that it's about 70 proof, where, like I said, vodka's around 80. And they pointed out that you don't get carded to buy vanilla extract, which means that now people will get carded to buy vanilla extract. You get carded now to buy a Bic lighter. You get carded to buy Sudafed, because this is a country in a post-classic malaise where people are desperate to escape their own reality. So pay attention. And, you know, just note that sometimes we just get ahead. Maybe it's just, you know, a thing with the universe. I don't know. But weird. Exactly. V.T. Blom says alcohol is alcohol. Well, I mean, grain alcohol is grain alcohol. Wood alcohol, no. Of course, you'd never put wood alcohol in vanilla extract because, well, make you crazy and right. There was another story out there today of a similar vein, and I've got an example of it as well. The Washington Post published a story today. See if this sparks anything for you. Headline: in America, talk turns to something unspoken for 150 years. Civil War. And it talks about one of the goobers over at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, one of their maggots, who's been babbling Civil War for a while. Joseph DeGeneva. He's very, very close to Julius Geezer. And he showed up on Fox News TV Radio Rwanda and said, we are in a civil war. The suggestion that there's ever going to be civil discourse in this country for the foreseeable future is over. It's going to be total war. The Post then noting that the following day over on MSNBC, there was Nicole Wallace, Loyal Bushy, former member of the Bush, the W comms team back when, they were busy causing a million innocent Iraqi civilians to get all dead. And she played DeGeneva's video and then claimed that Julius Geiser had, quote, greenlit a war in this country around race. And if you think about the most dangerous thing he's done, that might be it. And then declaring from its place on the high mountain, the Washington Post said, the rampant talk of civil war may be hyperbolic, but it does have origins in a real crumbling confidence in the country's democratic institutions and its paralyzed federal government. With Congress largely deadlocked, governance on the most controversial issues has been left to the Supreme Court or has come through executive or emergency actions such as Trump's border wall effort. And then they cite the quote from Michael Cohen from a couple of days ago in which he declared, given my experience working for Mr. Trump, I fear that if he loses the election in 2020, there will never be a peaceful transition of power. And as I said, I think we take that to heart. And here's where that comes in. I didn't go back to check, but I think it was something on the order of at least 4 or 5 years ago that I coined the term here, and we talked about it a lot, cold civil war. I took the idea of a cold war, such as we had between the U.S. and the Soviet Union, in the aftermath of the Second World War and up until the fall of the Soviet Union, the Cold War, and then, of course, the traditional meaning of civil war. And I combined them and came up with the concept of cold civil war as a means of describing the efforts of Republicans to undermine the ability of we, the people out there looking for that more perfect union, to continue to govern ourselves. Well, the Washington Post seems to think we're there. The Washington Post got there this morning. If you're a member of the Horn Family Community Congregation, you've known about it literally for years. Now, I haven't searched or anything to see if anybody else came up with the concept, but I know that nobody was talking about it when I started. Now, this isn't me getting all egomaniacal. I'm not about to declare, with half my brains tied behind my back on talent on loan from God, my friends. Give me another one of those fucking Oxycontins. I'd love to chew them up for the refreshing burst of flavor. No, not my point at all. But we connect a lot of dots here. And I think it has something to do with the nature of the conversation. Because we talk with each other in such a way that instead of the main point of the conversation being to get to the next hard break, dump the call, run the commercials, and then come back, take another call, talk for 15 seconds, dump the call, go to the next commercial, come back. We don't have to do that here because this is listener-supported, independent, liberal, progressive broadcasting. That may be why it is that we get as far out in front of the curve as we do. Oh, now, Jimmy, that's just nasty. Jimmy in the Great Northwest saying, vanilla extract and a beer back. Holy God. David in South Carolina, Stan, with regard to the idea of the Cold Civil War. I've not been able to display political yard signs since 2008 for fear of being gunned down on the way out to my mailbox. That's South Carolina, Stan. And remember, South Carolina, Stan, is the same state that started that little dust-up back in 1861. But it's not just South Carolina, Stan. We've heard thuds on our front porch and gone out the next morning to see that somebody has hurled a goddamn billiard ball at our house as they drove by. All for having a sign for, say, wind power or Barack Obama in the yard. Yeah. So, I found that interesting. And I found it telling. And, yeah, the other side is more than happy to make their case on it as well. Noted anchor baby, remember that's the phrase that the White Wing invented to describe people whose parents were immigrants, whose children were born here. They call those anchor babies. And Michelle Malkin is one such. And like I said, they'll have to fumigate a substantial part of D.C. after this weekend, after the CPAC creepies leave. But they're in high dudgeon there. There's that phrase again, in D.C. And Michelle Malkin was trying to whip them along into a further furor. How did she do it? Well, here it is.
Our enemies are both foreign and domestic. Inside our already flimsily defended borders, we are not at peace. Or rather, the radical left is not at peace with us. From the comfort of TV green rooms and beltway back rooms and corporate boardrooms and conference ballrooms, it may not look like civil war is imminent. But threats and outright violence against you, ordinary, law-abiding people, are now regularized features, not just random bugs of political life in these disunited states.
Now, time out there, Missy. The left is at war with them. Can we take a moment with that notion? Pretty please. Because the last I checked, the guy who was mailing pipe bombs to all kinds of people a couple of months back, he wasn't driving around in a van festooned with stickers that said, God bless Hillary Clinton, God bless Bernie Sanders, God bless Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. No, any picture of Hillary Clinton that dude had on his van had a set of crosshairs over her face. And he mailed his pipe bombs to people that he perceived to be liberals. And the guy who shot up the Tree of Life synagogue in Pittsburgh, Squirrel Hill, yeah, no, he wasn't running around with a T-shirt that said Green New Deal Now on it. He, in fact, was whipped into his murderous homicide, his frenzy, by the President of the United States shrieking about a deadly caravan of Guatemalan women and children headed for the border. These people, these wing nuts, are the sorts of folks who, as we say, could swallow a mountain and gag on a gnat. They look the other way while people of their political persuasion slaughter people of our political persuasion. But then, if one guy shows up and said, "Yeah, and I voted for Bernie," bang, Well, then the left is at war with the decent, God-loving people of the United States of America, and they get all purple in the face and shit. Right. But Michelle Malkin has declared war. Now, wherever it is that she lives, she's perfectly safe, and well, frankly, most wing nuts are, because we're not the ones with all the guns who try to whip people into a gunned-up frenzy to go out and slaughter people who have a different opinion from us. That would be the Republicans. That would be the GOP. And by the way, all that cold, you know, I started noting the cold Civil War long before Donald Trump was anything resembling a presidential candidate. Donald Trump is the absurdist extension of Republican doctrine writ large. Back to Michelle Malkin.
You all know who are plugged in and on the ground that college students are being punched, elderly citizens are being harassed, MAGA hat wearers are being kicked off planes and assaulted in school hallways and restaurants, conservative speakers are being mobbed and Molotov cocktails, ICE agents and their families are being targeted, pro-lifers are being kicked and menaced.
Kicked. Did you hear the emphasis on the syllables when she said kicked?
Somehow the Parkland students don't come in for a mention on that. The grieving families of the murdered from the Tree of Life synagogue don't come in for a mention on that. The people who received pipe bombs don't come in for a mention on that.
But somebody said something ugly to a pro-lifer who was trying to make sure that a woman couldn't get the necessary reproductive health care that she needed. How dare they? Oh, I am so butthurt.
Pro-Trump, anti-jihad moms on social media are being monitored and doxxed. The madness is beyond parody.
It's also beyond truth. It's beyond reality. It exists only in the thin gray settlings that slosh around between Michelle Malkin's ears and pass for brains. Honest to God, I think these fucking maggots, they masturbate to this stuff.
Last week, you all saw this. Social justice media warriors whipped up hysteria over a Mar-a-Lago pastry chef. Over her Instagram posts.
It turned out that the Mar-a-Lago pastry chef is a fucking fascist. And it's not hysteria, it's pointing out fascism. See, that's what this boils down to. Fascists don't like it when you out them to the world as a fascist. Because fascists are a toxic plague upon life, on human life on planet Earth, and probably every other life form as well.
Where are the sanctuary spaces for law-abiding conservatives who simply want to exercise their rights to free speech and peaceable assembly?
Yeah, that's what it is. I'm surprised she didn't haul out the... I didn't even mention this because everybody else seemed to be all over it. But the woman from Clay County, West Virginia, this happened a couple of weeks ago. Remember her? She got fired from the Clay County, West Virginia Development Corporation when she just couldn't help herself. And her free speech rights just forced her to get on Facebook and refer to Michelle Obama as a ape in heels. Well, a couple of weeks back, she got busted for defrauding FEMA of about $18,000, claiming that the floods of a couple of years ago wrecked her house and that she had to live in a different house. Only the floods hadn't touched her house. I'm surprised she wasn't invited to speak at CPAC. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's that, Michelle?
Street chef, over her Instagram posts, where are the sanctuary spaces for law-abiding conservatives who simply want to...
Oh, wait, they want a safe space? Oh, I remember when people who wanted a safe space were a joke to them. But now they want one, and they want a sanctuary city. Well, shit, Michelle. Move to fucking Phoenix. Move to Pocatello, Idaho. Move to, oh, where? Move to Charleston, South Carolina, but folks may not be too crazy about you there. I mean, that ain't a good tan you got going on, girlfriend. Yeah, hell yeah. Move to Pensacola, Florida, right there in the first congressional district of Florida, so Matt Gaetz can be your member of Congress. The guy who took a phone call from Donald Trump thanking him for trying to intimidate Michael Cohen in advance of his testimony before the House Government Oversight and Reform Committee. Go on now. But the thing with trying to figure out a city, a sanctuary city for toxic maggots, is that most of the cities in this country are blue. So maybe move out into the countryside, maybe in representing Clay Higgins' district, or move into Chip Roy's district down there at Dribbling Dick or Dribbling Dick, Texas, or Chlamydia Creek, or wherever that freak's from. Go on now.
Exercise their rights to free speech and peaceable assembly.
Well, you know, if they would assemble peaceably, it'd be nice. But most of the time, they show up with a bunch of goddamn guns to make it clear to us that if law enforcement would just look the other way, they'd slaughter us to the last human being. Yeah. Yeah, David in South Carolina, Stan, pointing out, none of those right-wing vans were decorated with deadhead stickers or peace signs, or did I see the wrong van? No, you saw the right van, David. They don't have there's no coexist stickers on a maggots hate van. Woo! Clap, maggots, clap! Cheer! Whistle! Woo! Woo!
The divide in this country is between decent people who stand up for America and dastardly people who want to bring America to its knees.
Oh, I think she's going to cry. To its knees.
We certainly should make common cause with others across the aisle who share our values, but we should never rush to embrace those whose fundamental aim is to smear and destroy us all.
Dismear? Is that a new word, Michelle? Dismear?
That is suicidal.
Yeah, no. But you can, I mean, you can hear in a clip like that, you can hear her setting up the casus belli. And there really isn't a lot of difference between this kind of rhetoric and the rhetoric of 1861. Abraham Lincoln had not done a damn thing to the state of South Carolina when they decided to start, Pierre Gustave Tonton Beauregard and a bunch of traitors decided to start taking pot shots at the fort that guarded the entrance to Charleston Harbor, Fort Sumter? But the South said, Oh, that Abraham Lincoln's in that there White House now, and oh, he's going to do something terrible any day now. We better start shooting quick before they come and take our cannons away. You can have our cannons when you pry them from our cold, dead Confederate treasonous fingers.
And that's how it started. And you know who they're most afraid of? And it was made clear throughout the course of CPAC so far. They're at National Harbor, Maryland. Yes, you got it. Sebastian Gorka, Nazi, was invited to speak at CPAC. And he said, socialism is here in America. Never mind the fact that socialism's been here in America for as long as we've been funding a military in this country out of the common funds of the republic. Never mind that socialism has been here from the moment we built the first national highway. Never mind that socialism exists in numerous water utilities that are publicly owned, electricity utilities that are publicly owned. Never mind that socialism has been here since Medicare went into effect. Never mind that socialism has been here since the VA got up and running. Never mind that socialism was here in all its naked power and glory after the Great Recession, when we bailed out the fucking banks, as Dr. King said. Socialism for the wealthy, brutal capitalism for the poor. Brother Deacon Asa with an observation. Can we take a moment, he asks, and look into the newfangled generation of right-wing grifters who come into America and find their meal ticket in filleting the white wing? Michelle Maglaglong, Malkin, Piyush Bobby Jindal, Nimrata Randhawa, Nikki Haley. Are you fucking kidding me? Why are they so afraid of living with their actual real names? Are they afraid the racist fucks will judge? Or worse, lynch them? They're not afraid. They know damn good and well. Oh, and speaking of Nimrata, guess who has a tasty new seat on the Boeing board of directors? Yeah. Fuck Boeing. Not saying, just saying. Among other things, they've spent these last couple of days having absolutely purple polka-dotted blue screaming hissies and kittens with crocheted tails over one woman, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. It would be okay with them, I guess, if she had some socialist leanings and was dumber than a bag of hammer handles. But what really drives them nuts, what allows her to move in, set up housekeeping, Wayfair, you've got just what I need, and bring in couches and chairs and tables and rugs and throw pillows and maybe some nice Fiesta wear, dinnerware and whatnot, in their heads is the fact that she's beautiful and brilliant. Now, for us over on this side, we go, hey, that's a double threat.
for them over on the right, they just hear, that's a threat. I mean, when your answer to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez over in the XX chromosome quadrant of the Republican Party is Marsha Gedneth Blackburn or Joni Ernst or, God knows, Carol Miller, then the battle of the brains is pretty clearly being won, you know, by our side. It's a pretty pathetic lineup of grifters, though, that CPAC has this year. They had to haul out Glenn Beck, whose media empire just collapsed in a conflagration of ego and paranoia. The only one they didn't invite was Alex Jones. But Glenn, the Beckerhead, too, had dire warnings about the socialism.
If socialism were a movie, socialism would be Friday the 13th. Because it seems to always stalk college co-eds who all think that the death and violence is just a scary story that never happened. And
college co-eds. College co-eds is wingnut code for damn, I hate Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She's so smoking hot. Why can't she be a Republican? But instead, she's smarter than half the Republican caucus put together.
They are so convinced that it will never happen to them, that they mock the old person, who the one person in town who saw it firsthand. They call him crazy, a nut who still believes in ghost stories. And then they're all dead. And then Jason, his body, disappears. And only the old guy who saw it coming saw that the body is gone. And we have sequel after sequel. It happens time and again in movie theater after movie theater and country after country. Make no mistake, stop trying to hook up in some cabin in the woods and prepare, because Jason is coming. He's right behind you, and this time he's coming with a hammer and a sickle.
He seems to, the Beckerhead seems to have confused socialism and communism, because the hammer and sickle is, of course, the well-known symbol of communism, I guess, except when it's printed on a vodka bottle label for Hammer and Sickle Vodka, which is a very definitely capitalist company. Don't blame me. It just is what it is. Flavio points out Michelle Magalalang is a Filipina. She should move to Jim Jordan's district in Ohio. Oh, that would work nicely, I'm sure. Socialism's bringing a hammer and a sickle. Yeah, because that's what it is. Being able to go to the doctor when you're sick, that's communism. I mean, that's straight out of the old V.I. Lenin, Joseph Stalin, Fidel Castro playbook. Damn. That is some restaurant quality stupid. And you can't help but ask yourself, how do people fall for this goofy shit? Well, they fall for it because they want to. They fall for it because it's bias confirmation. They're already afraid, and this confirms their fears. It's like Oliver North, you know, the convicted felon who committed treason against the United States and was given a pass for it by way of a presidential pardon. Speaking at CPAC, he said Democrats are trying to, quote, make America weak again. And then he showed pictures of Cory Booker and Kamala Harris. And just for good measure, a picture of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Booker, Harris, Cortez. What do those three have in common? Well, when they put the pictures up on the big screen there in the CPAC auditorium, they made sure that they were done in black and white, not color, so that they could make them look really, really scary. And then they ran the clip of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez dancing again. The maggots are morphing into the... have morphed, I'm not sure what verb tense, into that town in Indiana from Footloose. They showed pictures from Venezuela. Then they showed a picture of Bernie. And there was dramatic, scary music and questions like, how will we pay for socialist programs? And then what you already heard Glenn Beck talking about, stop trying to hook up in a cabin in the woods. Yeah. Because America couldn't possibly pay for every citizen. If it, you know, every citizen in the United States being willing to pay for a common plan so everybody could go to the doctor when they're sick, we can't do that. America's just too damn stupid to be able to figure that out. The country that went to the moon can't figure out how to make sure that some working person is able to go to the doctor. Jesus God. Suman, with an answer to the why do they change their names question. Because they hate themselves for not being born white. Ding. Ding, ding. Ding, 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 ding. They yearn to be as white as the people for whom they shuck and jive. Makes sense to me. How about you? So that gets us pretty close to the end of the first hour of the program. And I'd say we've set the plate pretty nicely for Friday on the Front Porch and the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. I got one more, though. Charlie Kirk of Turning Point USA. That weird little youth group populated by people who are, you know, young maggots who are atne ute aitbre, if you one what I ene me. And he's one of those people who thinks he just came up with this idea, though this is a well-worn, to the point of no tread left, trope that has been the adored go-to of the white wing in this country for eons. But something just dawned on Charlie Kirk.
One of the things Donald Trump has done is he has not changed the left. He has revealed them. This is who they have always been. They have always hated this country. They have always had contempt for our history.
No, Charlie. We just know our history. The good and the bad. And we acknowledge the bad. But I guess he caught us. We hate America. Yep. That's what's, because, you know, hating America, that's what makes you want every American to be able to go to the doctor when they're sick. Hating America, that's what causes that. Hating America can bring on terrible spasms of wanting America to be able to continue to exist, even as even in the face of the depredations of climate change. That's some serious America hating there. That's what that is. Yeah. Jumping Jehoshaphat.
And what I find is that we as conservatives, we say far too often, well, we want the same thing as liberals. We just have a different way of getting there. Who's heard this before? I don't want to live in the country that the socialist left wants to create.
I don't want to live in a country where my neighbor can go to the doctor if they get sick. I don't want to live in a country where we have paved roads. Paved roads only lead us to socialism. I don't want to live in a country where our veterans can be taken care of by a socialist scheme when they come back from one of our filthy little wars of choice. I don't want to live in that America. Wow. I mean, wow. Doesn't want to live in that America, huh? I think he should be free to live anywhere he wants to live, don't you? I think maybe we should give him an early chance to be the first man on Mars. CO2 atmosphere and everything, and since the Republicans have been claiming for years that CO2 is not a pollutant, well, Let's get the rocket ready. Yes, do let's. I don't want to live in a...
You dick!
Yeah.
We are not going in the same direction as the Democrat Party. I don't want to live in the country where it's...
Democratic Party, turd.
It's okay to execute a newborn child. That's not the country I want to live in.
And it's not the country you live in now, dipshit. God, they want to believe in it so badly, I think, because they want to do it. They'd like to see it happen. These are some weird fuckers. These are some twisted assholes. Nobody's out there killing newborn babies. And to think that they are, you've either got to be willfully ignorant or congenitally stupid.
We do not have different ways of getting to the same place. We have two different places that we want to get to. And I'm so sick and tired of saying we should give the benefit of the doubt to liberals and say, well, they mean well.
Who the hell's saying that? Last I checked, they were mailing us fucking pipe bombs.
They mean well. If you want to fundamentally transform and destroy this country from within, you do not mean well.
And nobody's trying to do that. But I've been kind of harping it. Oh, fuck this guy. Let's go do Friday on the front porch, shall we? Oh, and thanks to an anonymous contributor, we are now down to, 94. $128.94 to finish Shirley's Memorial Challenge for this first day of March. Thank you, Anonymous. Different Anonymous from the Anonymous. Right. Yeah, you've got that. By the way, David in South Carolina, Stan points out, fire department dues. They want subscription-based fire departments. You know, I'd almost forgotten that. When the fire department showed up at that house fire in Tennessee and let the house burn to the ground because the dude was behind his payments for his fire service because it's better for people's houses to burn down than to have a socialist fire department. These are the same fuckers who walk around shrieking, Blue Lives Matter, y'all! But they sure do hate that socialist police department. Jesus, they're so stupid. Breathtakingly so. I'm connecting the stress line into the board right now, so stand by. Na, 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 na. There we go. All good. Brother Deacon Asa says, we have to give the maggots some credit for playing the AOC high school dance video, Bob. I mean, come on. She should have done something more dignified in high school, like boofing. You know, with PJ and Squee. Well played, Brother Deacon Asa. Well played. Yeah, that's for you. So let's do. We got a bunch of stuff to get into, and I may have misspoken. Midweek pinch hit utility chat room moderator and all around great guy Steve from Georgistan may be joining us this evening after all. That would be lovely. Monique noting, so the maggots should be in favor of tolls, right? She also points out, Bob, they're a cult. I can't anymore. This is how cults talk. If they didn't have money backing people, if they didn't have the money backing, people would mock them. Well, they got enough money to burn a herd of wet elephants with a sopping wet $100 bills. I'm still mocking them because they're so damned stupid. I mean, I kind of agree with Charlie Kirk in one sense. I don't have an ideological dispute with these idiots. I have an intelligent versus dumbass dispute with them. Hint, they're the dumbasses. Irish Dave says, so Chucky doesn't want to live in a socialist country, so I say, love socialist America or die. Since it's both Stalinist Friday and the 7th anniversary of not-so-bright passing to his reward. Oh, hold on. Is today the anniversary of the end of Andrew Bright, that guy whose last name rhymes with light and fart? Is it really, Irish Dave? Yes, Irish Dave notes, Orson Bean's son-in-law is still dead. Really, really dead. On the whole, would he rather be in Philadelphia? No, he'd rather be in National Harbor, Maryland, which reminds me, why is this place that's hosting CPAC still a going concern? Why hasn't it been boycotted into the dirt for hosting these freaks? Just a question. That's all. I'm just asking a question. And Monique continues and says, and why do I have to pay my tax money for MAGA children? I don't have kids, but I do because I want safe roads and educated children. I'm sick of these people. Oh, Monique, I've been sick of them for a long, long time. Downright, well, nauseated. Let's go check in with Sparky, shall we? Hey, Sparky.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you?
No, preparing for another storm.
Oh, is that why you unfolded space and just became Sparky?
Well, I was finishing up some work I was doing out there.
Ah, okay.
I had a big limb come down off the redwood tree, and I've been cutting it up.
Ooh, that's a little creepy. So, is there anything you can do with that, or you just cut it up and burn it?
Just cut it up and burn it. It's not that the limbs are only about 3 inches in diameter.
Oh, okay.
So I just cut it up to lengths and put it on a shelf and that I've got by the rock shop and let it age.
Yeah, and then I guess if you had a hanker and a whittle or something like that, I mean it's not that hard of wood, is it?
I don't think so, but I haven't tried to whittle on it.
Well,
I got all the tools that my dad left.
Well, I mean, I was just thinking about the man cave out there. You know, there's a lot of stuff to work with.
Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff to work with. Stuff that I'll never use. That I have to get rid of sometime.
But if I understand whittling correctly, whittling is the process of turning a decent-sized hunk of wood into a toothpick, isn't it? You just kind of sit there and take off pieces of wood.
I don't know. I've got a 4-foot walking stick that my dad did.
Ooh, that would be nice.
He carved a head on it. Goofy guy head and had a little hat made for the end of the stick. And then his buddy is really good with the carving stuff. He carved a snake all the way around the stick. Will you mute?
Is that me? I hope that's not me making that noise again.
No, it's somebody. I can't mute him for some reason.
Damn it.
You mute other people, but I just couldn't mute him. Anyway, did you hear me? The guy carved a snake. It curls around.
Cool. That would be worth learning how to do.
Yeah, well, there's some expensive tools out there. My Dominion got into a couple of them, and I think he messed up the one expensive one.
Oh, it's always the expensive one.
It's a high-speed air drill like a dentist used.
Oh, wow.
Turns at 300,000 RPM.
That's impressive. Yeah, oh, hey, we've got a brand courtesy of Devin. We have a brand new word to use, and I think Devin gets a cowbell for this. Talking about those clowns at CPAC. Try this one on for size. Ignorarrogance. A combination of ignorance and arrogance. I like that.
I thought you used to call it the Clavern Rally.
Well, we did, but I mean that word, ignorarrogance, it just captures everything.
And then, you know, when you talk about Republicans going to Mars,
yep,
you make me think of that video that was made of.
Mars needs Republicans.
Yeah, still on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't know how many years ago that was.
And so is that ancient piece where we had such delightful fun making sport of Michael the Savage Wiener. Savage. And his complaints about hygiene. And see, that's all pre-Trump. And he was harping on the, you know,
the filthy immigrants. We can't blame it all on Trump, Sparky.
No. I don't blame. I mean, shit, you guys been around for years. And they say some of the stupidest stuff.
No, it's their stock in trade.
How about Pence saying freedom ended slavery? Today or yesterday or something.
Yeah, I don't think there's any way to measure what is stupid when it reaches that level. We haven't developed scientific processes capable of doing that.
Stupidometer.
There's that. Yeah. Oh, hey, and I don't want to screw up this time. Kevin is over on the stress line. Let's bring Kevin on board. Hey, Kevin.
Hi, good evening. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, it works just dandy.
Very good. I was worried there for a minute. When you came to me, it got louder. So, but anyway, yep, I'm out here in Colorado Springs, and I think your ignorant arrogance pretty much describes it. But it's willfully they believe it, but they also do not want to hear anything that might challenge whatever it is they believe.
No, they want their hatreds affirmed, and they don't want to hear any possibility that their hatreds could possibly be wrong.
Exactly. And if you try and point out something like that to them, no, it doesn't. Your opinion, your thought doesn't count at all. And that's what's so maddening about these people is that, you just like you pointed out, how do we get our roads? Socialism's been around for years, and that's why we have public roads. But in their world, no, those aren't public roads. Those were capitalist roads.
Yes, built via the loving kindness of the robber baron class.
Right, exactly. But if you put a toll on those roads, oh my God, would they be up in arms in a minute if you did that? And it's very maddening to see. And anyway, so I was going to relate. I have a helper that helps me with different things here. She's Hispanic to some extent, Puerto Rican. And she told me a story. It's been a couple of years now, and she just told me this story here in this past few months. She went to a store to pick up prescriptions for me. And while she was there, she had one of your MAGA class get on to her, get out of my country, blah, blah, blah. And she said, I'm from Puerto Rico. And the woman still said, get out of my country. And, you know, and of course, Puerto Rico's part of our country. But because she looked slightly Hispanic looking, she wasn't American. And, you know, my helper was at work at the time, so didn't really do anything about it other than walk away from the woman. But, you know, it's just sad that these people think they believe they own the country, and they're the only ones in the country. And they're the only one. They are. In their minds, they're the only ones that count. Anyone that's not like them, doesn't look like them, doesn't act like them, they don't count. So.
Oh, no. Not in the least.
I don't know. I listened to you and Scott, I think it was last night or the night before, and I know you were, either of you were necessarily not trying to be a little ray of fucking sunshine, but...
Can't help it sometimes, Kevin.
I know, and that's the thing. I, I can't find a whole lot of rays of sunshine here lately because how do we even get back to a point of being where we were not even before November of 2016, but before...
Kevin, don't ever ask a little ray of fucking sunshine that question, because you will not like the answer.
I know that answer myself, so, I know.
Well, let's check it. Let's check in around the rest of the group this evening. We haven't had Haley on for a while. How you doing, Haley? Are you there? Yes. No.
Yes, she's in, but not answering the mic.
Okay.
Call.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll come back to her in a little bit. All right. How about Les? You out on the road, Les? This can't be the. Is this me or is this Skype?
No, it's not you.
Okay, that sounds like somebody.
I'm present.
Oh, well, there's Steve. Yeah, I, at one point I thought you weren't going to make it this evening.
Nah, bro, I just sent you a text saying I was running about.
Yeah, I saw that, but no, you sent me another one earlier, said talk to you on Monday.
Oh, I did? All right, my bad.
Hey, Steve, you're
spinning around in so many different directions, brother. Go ahead.
You're an old guitar picker, right?
Yes, sir.
I just got the coolest picture from our buddy David in South Carolina, Stan. A couple of pictures from down that way of him jamming to Bob and the News reporting Fun Time Revival Hour. I kind of like that.
Well, God. Damn, that's post.
The News reporting Fun Time News reporting Fun Time Revival Hour. Bring it on.
Get with Brother Asa. We'll get that up on the webpage.
Hot diggity. So I got to know firsthand, how's Ms. Karen feeling?
Bob, there is some crap going around Georgia. Everybody's getting it. It started out with strep like a month ago, and now that ran its course, and now it's just some kind of viral crap where they can't even treat. They just give you steroids and send you on your way, and she's got it. I had it. It makes you feel like dog squeeze. But hell, other than that, we're doing good.
Well, you know, last weekend I checked in with our buddy Tara, and I guess she relapsed.
Yeah. Yes, you can. This will relapse your ass, too, man. But who was that just came in? I heard somebody floating in. That Flavio?
That's me.
What's up, friend?
Not much. How's it going?
Going good. Welcome to the porch, man.
Yeah, I made it early today. For once.
Oh, okay. So have you already chimed in, or is this your first pipe in?
I didn't understand.
Is this your first time in tonight, or
the first time in tonight? Yeah.
Is this an encore appearance?
I emailed something earlier.
Cool.
No, I was just thinking of. Ocasio-Cortez. Now, I just wanted to tell you, I went to school at UW-La Crosse, Wisconsin, with some really cool students from Puerto Rico. Okay? Now, these were authentic Boricuas. Some of them were New Ricans, and they They were from New York, the Bronx, where she's from, but a lot of them were just, you know, they were just studying, they just came to study at UW La Crosse because they got accepted at UW La Crosse. And I had the best time with them, and I got to be part of what was then kind of like an amalgam of the Latin American Student Association and the Puerto Hispanic Student Association, which included, you know, Puerto Ricans and Dominicans, and, you know, and I was the treasurer for the Pan American Union Association back then. That was in the 1980s. So I had a lot of fun. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're there. You're there. We're just listening.
Okay. No, and we used to go to dances together and, you know, just advocate for Hispanic students on campus and so forth. And UW La Crosse back then was really, really, really multicultural. It's kind of, I gotta say, UW La Crosse is kind of a shadow of what it was back in the 80s, because it was really multicultural back then. And it's kind of, well, I don't know, I guess the price of college has gone up so astronomically that, you know.
Did you ever play lacrosse, friend?
Say it again?
Did you ever play lacrosse?
No.
Yeah, I played defensive crease in varsity. And it's not a nice game. It is not a nice game. I had hell of a lot of fun, you know.
It's like hockey.
It's like hockey, but you're on the grass with sticks. When you check somebody, you can really check them, because you're not skitting along on ice. You're, you know, you got your feet dead into the dirt, and you're coming at them full blast. And you got very little equipment too. You know?
I'm guessing La Crosse, Wisconsin was not named after the game.
I think it may have been.
Well, you know the history of lacrosse, don't you, Bob? I mean,
oh yeah, I mean it was a Native American game.
Right, where they played with skulls and, you know, all the way back that far. But yeah, it's a fun game. It really is. It's one of the funnest games I've ever played.
Actually, I think it was an entrepot, a French. How would you translate entrepot in English? Outpost?
Yeah.
It was a French outpost on the Mississippi, and then across the river it was La Crescent, you know. And La Crescent was named for the Muslim Crescent, so we're good.
Well, it's kind of like, this is the first day of March, and I was thinking about this earlier today. Of course, we get the name of the month of March from the Roman god of war, Mars. But I got to wondering if the etymology of the actual word march, as in, you know, march to war or whatever, might also be related to the Roman god of war, because this month was dedicated to the Roman god. The Romans dedicated this month to their god of war because this was when they got together and marched off to war. The weather was good enough to go and fight somebody and take their shit.
Right. Yeah, no, that I couldn't tell you. You know, I know March is, you know, named after Mars, the god of war, but I couldn't tell you.
And this was also their new year, which makes a lot, that I still maintain, makes a lot more sense than having January be the new year.
Oh, no, I agree with you on that. But I'm just really enjoying the fact that they don't know what to do with AOC. she's just this woman who
is smarter than 99% of the Republican Party. Yes.
Yeah, because, and I mentioned this on Facebook, one of the hallmarks of intelligent, smart people is they're not victim to the Dunning-Kruger effect. They realize they're smart, but that they don't know everything and could possibly never know everything, and they know that they don't know everything.
You know, I don't know this for a fact, Flavio, but I wonder if people who suffer from the Dunning-Kruger effect, what do you want to bet they don't read books?
And I mentioned that, too. The only reason you could fall for somebody like the CPAC woman, what is it, McDaniel? What is her name? Nona?
Ronna McDaniel? No, just call her Ronna Romney because she's Bishop Willard's niece, but she tries to make people forget that.
Yeah, but, you know, the only reason they would ever fall for the idea that the internet was a wholly private enterprise hatched thing is if they'd never read. Now, my first computer, I bought my first computer in 1999, right? And it was a crappy thing. It was like maybe it was really small, okay? And I think it had 4 gigabytes of storage and like 500 megabytes of RAM or something stupid like that. It was a gateway. What can I say? And I remember when I first got that, I actually armed myself with books and read them. I read them. And I learned
about DARPA. What an idea.
And I, you know, I learned about DARPA and ARPA and DARPA and, you know, Tim Berners-Lee. And this was 1999. I bought a British book called The Rough Guide to the Internet, which is part of a series published in Great Britain. It was a little, tiny little book of like maybe 500, 600 pages, but really small, you know, like one of those tablets things, you know. And I, I read up on it, and then I was living in Madison at the time in 1999, and Madison, Wisconsin, and I used to be able to go to Pick a Book, which was this store that had like international publications, and I'd buy this magazine, this glossy magazine called Panorama, which is a Berlusconi publication. But the virtue of that is that it had inserts, okay, of like 1 week it'd be like classical music greats, and with an accompanying cassette or CD. Or the next week, a glossary of internet terms. So I learned about, you know, what does HTTP stand for? What does TCP/IP stand for? What does JPEG, GIF?
Jesus, don't use those last three letters. The great feud over how to pronounce it will begin. Jesus, please, no. Yeah. Just no.
So, you know, I learned that, you know, graphic image file. You know, joint electronic project, whatever, for JPEG and TIFF, you know, tagged image file, bitmap, what's a bitmap, you know. So I learned all those things in an Italian magazine that was translating back the terms in English to Italian. because they didn't have that. And then I stumbled upon the Rough Guys.
And suddenly we're back to that clip you and I listened to the other night. You know, Jimmy James, macho donkey wrestler.
I didn't see that, but...
No, we played it on the program.
Oh, okay. I'm too much to remember. But the point is, I read. I've been reading since I was six. And I learned to read. And then by age eight, I knew English. Then I taught myself Spanish. I studied French in high school. I taught myself Italian. And it just went on from there. I had German in high school. So I'm just like, you know, I can't imagine living without reading. In fact, I don't even have a television. I gave that up because it was occupying space. I just didn't feel any pleasure anymore in looking, you know, watching stuff. I didn't have cable, so I only had the commercial terrestrial, and then it went to digital. And then I was supposed to buy this converter box. Okay, well, I got a subsidy, $40, whatever. And then I noticed that the channels kept popping in and out, and like,
wait, you got a subsidy? That's socialism, Flavio. Hey, let's
socialism. Yeah, that was socialism. Hold on, that was socialism for the companies that were given the analog spectrum. That was socialism in reverse, okay? Because I was perfectly fine with the terrestrial channels, okay?
And well, that's like country music in reverse. You know what happens in country music in reverse, right?
Yeah, you get your children back.
Your dog comes back. Your wife starts loving you again. You sober up. All of that. Hey, let's bounce it around the room a little bit.
Okay, go ahead.
And so you see who else wants in on the conversation. John Bridivo, are you actually there?
Oh, yes, sir. Just enjoying another fine day in Trump land.
Hot diggity damn. I don't know how.
Another lie? Shit. Are you shitting me? It don't get no worse than this, Bob. I hope.
Don't you even dare say it, John.
Uncle John, what's
how
shaking,
y'all
good?
What's shaking? Staying on the front edge, baby. Trying to keep the troops motivated.
Hanging and banging.
That's it, baby. We're on the march. We got to lift this shit up because this is the beginning of the second half, and we got the ball, and we're gonna march some bitch all the way down the field. Y'all ain't seen shit yet as far as public hearings go. We're gonna have a show coming up, buddy. I'm looking forward to it.
What's his name? The accountant apparently will be doing star turn in front of the Congress.
What's his name again?
Weisselberg.
Weisselberg.
Yes.
I don't know if we're gonna get to hear from Matty Eightlegs, but you know, I'm hoping.
Does he have immunity?
Yeah.
He has limited immunity,
Limited
immunity about anything he wants to talk about. He's going to sing his little ass off.
Hey, John, I got a question for you. I think you might can help with.
What's up?
You've handled a few firearms in your day, haven't you?
Yeah, I have fired a few rounds. Yes, sir.
Yeah, and I mean, they'd drum you out of Texas if you hadn't.
Yeah, it's a law down here.
So Texas,
they whack you on the ass and hand you a gun. Here you go, boy. Get out there.
So Texas has a border with Mexico.
Yes, sir.
I mean, I think we've established that.
Yeah.
Let's say John wants to go and buy a firearm in the state of Texas. Even though it's Texas, don't you have to fill out those federal firearms paperwork there at the at Guns R Us?
Well, not if you do at Guns R Us, but you don't have to at the gun show.
Well, I realize that, but I'm going somewhere with this because
you got to fill out the little form if you go to the store, yeah.
And doesn't that involve like taking out your Texas driver's license?
You got to show ID.
Okay, so this is where I'm having a problem.
All right.
There was this story about how Nancy Pelosi and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez both got right worked up at these so-called moderate Democrats.
Moderate Democrats.
Yeah. The dreaded centrists. Because they tried to have a gun safety bill last week, but about 23 Democrats voted with the goddamn Republicans.
Yeah, you see, there's a problem right there.
But the thing is, we're gonna tap into a deep vein of stupid here.
Well, that ain't hard to do, Bob.
You can see the vein, buddy. So what happened is this amendment that they tacked onto the bill that ruined the bill. This was a background check bill, okay?
Okay.
And the Republicans said, "Well, all right, but we want to add an amendment to it." And our amendment says that the government and the gun store has to notify law enforcement. They have to notify the ICE if an illegal alien, because that's how they talk.
Right.
Tries to buy a gun.
So-called motion to recommit.
Yes. So let's. I wanted to make sure that we got to this one because it was so ineffably stupid. You got it.
Stop speaking Latin. It's unspeakably stupid.
Well, sorry. I like ineffable myself. Sometimes I just masturbate a word into a sentence, whether I know what it means or not.
Get it in there. Just get it in there.
But that ain't the first time I've heard that. Followed immediately by, "Is it in yet?"
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's go to that. Come on.
So these dumbass centrist, moderate, so-called Democrats apparently know so little about buying a goddamn gun that they don't realize that your average, what's the term you use? Bad hombre, with calves the size of cantaloupes, according to Nazi Steve King.
Can't carrying all them drugs. Yep.
Can't just swan into Guns R Us and say, I would like to have that there semi-automatic assault rifle, please. Yeah, here's my $500.
You can't from the outset. Let me just say, you can't. I have a green card that would like send alarm bells from here to Kentucky.
At hombre. Yeah.
Wait, why am I hearing me now?
That's how come they're going to call the popo.
But the thing is, the goddamn dumbass Democrats didn't even realize that they were voting in favor of something that can't happen in the first place.
A solution
in search of a problem.
You think the Republicans got what they want by being centrist? Oh, no, baby, they shoved it up your butt. They didn't give a shit what you thought. I don't want a centrist. I want somebody who's voting for our side.
And so that fucked up the bill, and Nancy Pelosi got real worked up and said, "Folks, we're a team. We have to stay with the team. Just vote no on their stupid amendments, and we'll get work done." Oh, but then because
this is something Mitch McConnell knows.
This has nothing to do with Mitch McConnell. This is the House of Representatives.
I'm saying that he knows how to keep his people in line. She's done
an awfully damn good job. Hold off, Flavio. Because then it shows up in the Washington Post as rifts emerge in Democratic caucus on important gun bill. And they added a paragraph in there about how Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez said she was making a list and she would tell people who. God damn it. You know, not God damn it because of the, God damn it because of the stupid.
It's ignorance, Bob. That's what we're fighting every day, buddy. I don't want to play nice anymore. I've said that before. I don't, I've watched the Republican Party shove everything they wanted up our butt. Hold your Supreme Court judge, kiss off. You ain't getting it. That's all they're doing. They don't, discuss it. They don't investigate it or or they just shove it up your butt, and that's exactly what we need to do to them. I don't care what their feelings are. What they say during the campaign, fuck them feelings. Yeah, that's what I say, baby. I'm waiting on the show to bring in Donnie Jr. and Ivanka. And hell, let's throw Melania in there. She's got to know something.
Oh, she knows many things.
Yeah, she knows a lot, baby.
It's my understanding she can say, hey, sailor, in 6 different languages.
Yeah, I bet she can, too, baby. Got the pictures to prove it. When it is appropriate, I do like to throw that into the conversation that you can't go look up Michelle Obama's naked pictures on the Internet. You just can't do it. You know why? Because there ain't none. Yeah.
Michelle, bring in Donnie Jr. I bump
it. Somebody's sending our audio back at us.
Yep. Somebody's watching the video.
Bob.
Yes. I am.
No, what Nancy was trying to say is that, guys, don't you realize that it's a ruse? It's a ruse by the Republicans, and don't fall into it.
Right, and the dumbass centrists were like, yeah, but we live in pro-Trump districts.
We vote with our districts. That's not the point.
She said to him, we got lots of money. We'll support you. You're going to be okay. Just vote no on this crazy shit.
Yeah, because this is the ruse. It's just a ruse. It's ridiculous.
I'm tired of watching. I want a solid Democratic vote. That's exactly what the damn Republicans do, and that's exactly what we need to do.
Precisely.
Over there, you know, this ain't the time to play that game. When we get our house back in order, that's when we'll go back to discussing it. But all this time since Obama came into office till now, the Republicans have played the same game. Shove it up their butt. They don't get nothing.
Well, can't we all just get along, folks?
Oh, yeah. That's
hey, Billable game. Rick, what's happening, man?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Rick.
Yeah, so, how was the karaoke? What'd you sing?
You know, it was subpar, man. I tried the Van Morrison version of Gloria, and I just didn't quite have that. I mean, it was okay. And then I tried Elton John and realized that Tiny Dancer is about one register above my octave range. So I lowered it midway through the song, and it was better the second half.
Well, live and learn. Live and learn.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, I gotta make a quick.
A man's gotta know his limitations. Yeah.
Right, and his reach should exceed his grasp. I've got an announcement to make. Thanks to John. Hey, John, thank you very kindly. Not you, John Bredevo. I mean, there are many people named John in the Horn Family Community Congregation. We are down to only 118. $118.33 to finish off Shirley's Memorial Challenge for this first day of March. And we've got about, an hour and 15 minutes to knock out that last $118.33 and be off to a roaring start here for the month of March. So that's I just want to let folks know.
That's doable. Yep, that's doable, Bob.
Yeah, we should be able to sort that out.
Like we always say, it's the way to promote the progressive voice is to keep the donation coming in, keep Bob on the air and all that kind of stuff, baby. That's what it takes, money, and every dime y'all donate is greatly appreciated, I'm sure.
It absolutely, positively is.
It is, Bob.
Hey, Bob.
118, that ain't hard to go.
Yeah, I'm hoping, but, you know, don't everybody sit around waiting for somebody else to do it, so.
Be a pioneer. Be the first. Pop up there.
Yep. Lead the pack.
That's right. Blaze a trail.
Hey Bob, that's a good question.
Yeah, go ahead.
How did you know ahead of time that there was going to be the greatest bust of illegal vanilla extract ever in bumfuck Alabama?
It was Atlanta, and I wish I could control it.
Are you trying to cash in?
No, I mean it's kind of, you know, you just got to tune in and you never know exactly how it's going to happen or how it's going to work out. You know, for my part, I guess they were buying the vanilla at Trader Joe's. And hey, Henry Grady High School students in Atlanta, Georgia, with a nearby Trader Joe's. Let me tell you about Trader Joe's Yuzu hot sauce. It won't get you wrecked, but the hot and spicy in it will trigger an endorphin response that's better than any booze. That's right, Trader Joe's Yuzu hot sauce. We recommend it here at the Horn.
Product placement, Bob.
That's a good product placement
ad, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, no money's changing hands, but someday we'll convince people, some company, you know, how good we are at this, and then I'll do a 3-hour radio program that'll be 2 hours of radio and an hour of commercials, just like, you know, everybody else. But I
don't know. Use the sauce ads on the hour, on the half hour.
It, right. And by the way, I tasted the first... the first bottle that came from Tom in the Bay Area earlier today just got me a little sip, just a little nip. I tried the stuff that's about the color of swamp water.
Ah.
Oh, Mother McCree, is it hot. Whoo, well, doggies.
Bob, will it put wind back in your kite?
I don't know what it'll do to a kite, but I think it'll strip varnish off an old chair.
I'm speaking metaphorically. Come on, man. Help me. Work with me, man.
I got a bottle, Steve. I got a bottle. The Whistler, baby. I got it this week from a fan.
It's
Irish whiskey, 7 years old. And it's,
love it.
Just cracked it on it the other day. It's
sweet. I believe I was on the air with you that night when you were nipping. Which is a very poor excuse for that word. You were just letting it hit your lips. I seen what you were doing.
Down a little bit. It's good scotch, though, baby.
Yeah. That's all it takes is a finger.
Now hold on, Brother John. There may be fisticuffs involved. Is it Irish whiskey or scotch? There are certain people out there that'll come to blows over that kind of shit.
It is Irish whiskey.
Okay, watch your mouth.
Now, it's made in Ireland. Let me see. Yeah, product of Ireland. Meth Ireland. Crafted by the Bone Distillery. Bowen Distillery.
All right, because it's brewed totally different.
Irish whiskey is what it says. Where'd I get scotch yet? I should not have used that word.
You pissed off the Scots and the Irish in one fell swoop.
I'm sorry. I make my apologies. No, it's Irish whiskey.
You pissed off one quarter of me because I'm an eighth Irish and an eighth Scottish, John.
Get out inside and let us all know how that works out.
hey, John, do you know if Ted Cruz is going to be speaking at the CPAC, is he going to be there?
Yeah, I'm sorry, there was a little noise there. So Ted Cruz is going to be there.
If Ted Cruz is going to be speaking at CPAC,
I wouldn't doubt it. He's trying to go.
It's over as of today, isn't it?
He's trying to talk up like Ted Cruz is what he's doing. I don't know if he's speaking there. Up at the pack of the ignorance.
He spoke day two. He was there today.
Oh, yeah. If you're going to pump the pom-poms for that kind of bullshit that they crank out there, Ted will be there. You know.
Hey, Bob. Hey, talking about ignorance. Remember one of your callers earlier was talking about how somebody told a Puerto Rican woman to get out of this country or go back to your country or whatever?
Right, yes.
I had the same experience when I was going to a store with my 6-year-old daughter. Crazy.
That's the ignorance.
Oh, Jesus, God.
It was hilarious, actually. She said, it was a woman, and she said, hey, go back to your country. I said, well, I'm already here. And she wouldn't listen.
that had to burn her up.
Yeah, they don't like that.
She had only one sentence. She kept saying, go back to your country. I said, go back to your planet. And that didn't work either.
Oh, timeout. Wait, hold on, everybody. I think this is Suman's first cowbell. go back to your own planet. That's beautiful.
It was crazy. Then she said, oh, go back to your country again. I said, well, I can't. You guys need me. You guys need my skills to get this. That made her turn all red.
Jesus. Well, how did you explain that to your 6-year old?
Oh, she was just kind of behind my leg, and then I told her later that she was a moron, not my daughter, the other woman.
Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah.
Of course. Thank you for clarifying that so much.
I think we already knew that. Like, you know, who's smarter than your 6-year old? You know.
Yeah, finally
failed that.
Did you forget your language?
On that side, this is getting a lot shorter and shorter.
Yeah, really.
She finally walked away. It was weird. I asked her if she forgot her anger management pills, and she looked at me and walked away.
Oh,
well, did y'all see that new video they got with, I don't know what it is, Doggy Debbie or something, got called the police because her dog got mounted by somebody else's dog, and the other dog's on its back, and, called 911 and all that shit. Yeah, we got another one. Yeah.
Yeah, that's Dog Walk Debbie.
Yeah, that's her. That's her.
Dog Park Debbie. Oh, Dog Park Debbie. Yes, yes.
Is that Tracy?
Hey, y'all.
Hey, Tracy.
Just got back. We had a pretty productive afternoon. Went for all you could eat sushi. Yay.
Yum.
Hey, check it out. For lunch, it was $21 per person for all you can eat sushi.
If they're just sitting there making it, yeah. Because, see, I don't do, like, Chinese buffet sushi.
No. They make it. They absolutely make it. It was really good.
Then that's then $21 a person is like stealing.
It was stealing. It really was stealing.
It's better than the deal down at the bait shop.
Oh, jeez.
Hey, Tracy, I've been to sushi places where it's all you can eat, but you have to order it precisely what you're going to eat.
You can't have any leftovers. You can't just eat the fish and leave the rice. And if you don't finish eating what you ordered, then you got to pay full price for it.
Right. Oh. Right.
You know, but no, it was good, and I didn't eat, I wasn't really that hungry, but I was hungry enough. we went to a wrestling movie.
Which?
You watched a wrestling movie?
I went and saw a wrestling movie. It was Fighting With Your Family, about, I guess, the Diva, WWE Diva Page. It was based on a true story.
We're losing Tracy.
Yeah, Tracy, you're gonna have to stand on one leg and hold your arm out and stick your tongue out, and you might get your signal back.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah, Sparky.
We're approaching big numbers now. We had 14 in on the call and 21 in the chat on this on Skype.
Wow.
Hey, Spark.
Hasn't beat the Horn Molloy Skype group record, though, yet.
Yeah, what is that record?
22 people.
Oh.
Well,
How is it up in Northern California? I hear it's a wreck up there. That people are like, have canoes and rafts and going down the Russian River, and what's going on up there?
Rainstorms, heavy rain everywhere. All the rivers are at flood stage. I drove over to Sacramento the other day here in Red Bluff, and I went, whoa, I've never seen it this high. It flooded our city park and one of our little other parks. It's called Dog Island. Flooded that.
And wait a minute.
It was about 2 feet coming up from flooding out an RV park.
Was the river high or were you?
The river was high.
Those two things can be true at the same time, Scott.
Well, the way you said
Porque no los dos.
I've never seen it this high. Well, that could be. Oh, never mind. Who am I to speak?
Yeah.
Well, I've been higher than I am right now, Scott, okay?
New horizons in high.
But I was talking about the river. I've lived in Red Bluff most of my life, or near Red Bluff most of my life. And I've been around the Sacramento River.
Have you been to the store lately, Sparky?
Yeah.
Shit, Sparky.
Oh, that store, no.
Sparky.
Yeah, for the rest of when the rest of the country asks somebody in California, "Have you been to the store?" You can assume there's some nudging and winking going on.
I'm trying to drive you to the store.
But my wife's got an appointment coming up in Redding. And
I might. Hey guys, I don't even need to go to the store. It's just brought to me.
Drive up there.
Oh, shut up, Rick. It's just brought to me.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They have delivery service in L.A.
No, I'm not even talking about that. Just friends.
But it's legal to have delivery to services.
I know they do. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is that what you get for retainers these days, Rick?
Beats the fuck out of hickory nuts.
Yeah, probably $7,500 for your average retainer. I met with... let's see. Is my office? I don't think I'm connected via the office Skype, so I think I'm okay.
$7,500. God damn! I better get a horn discount, man. What?
Yeah. I've got a chance to change jobs and work for a former colleague of mine. Work with a former colleague of mine. Basically, get paid partner pay, and working the same amount of time for twice the money.
Oh, so then you won't have to deal with the September billable freakout.
Yeah, exactly. I won't have that.
Will we have to refer you henceforward to Partner Rick instead of Billable Rick?
Yeah, I think so. I have to come up with a better name than Partner. That's just too pedestrian, you know.
No, I don't. I don't know about that, Partner.
Easy money, Rick. Too funny.
Hey, is that Clarity?
That's Clarity.
Yeah. All right, rock on.
And most importantly, what's our horn discount? Shit.
Yeah. The horn discount would be substantial.
Okay.
Yeah, at least 2%.
That's all you needed to say.
Well, probably 99% actually.
Oh, I got a cowbell for Earther. Going back to the reference to the don't eat the Chinese super buffet sushi. Earther says, when you see the attendant come over with a fresh bucket of ice to replace the old ice, it's a bad sign. Don't eat the sushi. Yeah.
Or gas station sushi.
Oh my God!
You know, I'll know, Tracy. See, that's how I'll know that West Virginia has arrived when we get gas station sushi to go with our gas station pizza.
Oh my God! They got a sushi pizza, Bob.
And Trace, I got something I want you to try. It's called spicy mayonnaise for sushi.
Oh.
Wait, I meant to take a picture. Okay. Here's a mayonnaise alert. So I ordered the crunchy lobster roll.
She's already tried it. God damn.
And I didn't know, and I didn't realize that spicy mayonnaise shit was on it, and it's not like I could send it back, so I had to eat it, and I didn't pass out.
Good. Progress.
Winning. I didn't hurl. I looked at it, and I'm like, God damn it, they snuck this. It's like you guys are in the kitchen preparing this, and they're like, let's really fuck with Tracy tonight. We know. We'll put spicy mayonnaise.
You know, you're talking to people in a program that's able to predict the future. The call went into your sushi joint about 3 days ago. Listen, there's this woman.
That was Bobby.
Her name's Tracy. Make sure there's mayo on the sushi. And they go, oh, yeah, okay, sure, no problem.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, and it wasn't terrible. I hate to admit this. You know that it's killing me to admit that it wasn't terrible. I am hurt. It's called
it may have even been, dare I say it, tasty.
Whatever, Bob. Whatever.
Hey, Tracy, did you and Jan ever make it to the fry place you were talking about, the gourmet fries?
No. We're holding out on that because it's just that going downtown, as anybody that's from L.A. knows, it's a nightmare. So I have to get up the gumption to drive downtown to downtown L.A. because I hate driving down there. So, but I want to try it. The only thing, I'm going to have to pass on the sweet potato s'mores fries. I'm going to leave that alone. Because
that's a little too sketchy.
Once we get Bob to get your sour pickle juice shooter, man, if the world will need to be complete.
Look, listen to what I'm saying to you people, okay? and I said you people. Listen to me now.
Yeah, you did.
God damn it.
Isn't pickleback,
this is what's going to happen with that. Because, see, I don't, okay, you guys have gotten me with the mayonnaise, okay? Don't push it.
Says the pumpkin spice latte.
We'll take care of some of our victories when we can. So we're cool, man.
Take your victories. Take your victory lap, okay? You guys have, I mean, it's only taken how many years have I been on this, being on this show that I'm actually admitting that I've eaten and tried, mayonnaise products. So it's taken, 12 years? 10, 12 years or whatever. So, pickle juice and alcohol, I'm hurling thinking about it.
No. I know. It just seems oh so wrong. I felt the same way, and then it happened.
I have to thank Tracy publicly.
Uh-oh, what did
I do? She delivered unto me a life-changing experience.
Uh-oh. Oh.
She reminded me that a film on Netflix, Abducted in Plain Sight, was available for viewing. And she said, it's got everything, Scott. And I figured, well, okay, let me check it out. And it took me a couple of days to get around to it. But earlier in the week, I watched Abducted in Plain Sight. I'm telling you, people, the last time I was that completely gobsmacked by something I saw on a screen was in my wayward youth, watching an Andy Warhol film on bad acid. I'm telling you.
Nice.
Oh, hey, by the way, we had a note from our long-time pal Reggie.
Yeah.
Going back to the CPAC clips I was playing.
That is cool, Scott.
Yeah. Reggie said, "Been watching a bit of the CPACing insanity on C-SPAN the last couple of days. These lily white people are totally delusional."
It's not insanity. It's not sanity. It's insanity.
Yeah,
it's madness.
Yeah, these lily white people are totally delusional.
I can't do it.
A decent hit of windowpane might merely just inch them toward normalcy.
There you go.
Can we get a GoFundMe page to try to get something like that going? Or
send acid to the wing nuts?
Yeah.
Well, it'd fry
their brains, Bob.
Maybe I'm jaded.
You can't fry what you ain't got, Sparky.
Duncan, it may make normal people out of them.
It might. Doctors are experimenting with mushrooms to help people who have mental illness, dementia and things of that nature. Depression.
Hey, Rick,
that's
a great idea, Rick. Spike the bucket pudding. With that
stuff. Oh, there you go, the bucket foot. Yeah.
Spike the bucket pudding. I love it.
You know, that just makes bucket pudding sound even filthier.
Wait, bucket pudding? What the hell? What?
This is Scott.
You don't know what that is, Tracy?
Wait, is that Jim Baker shit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hey, Scott, what's that?
I grew up in the 60s, and we used to try and turn people on to acid, and it went very, very wrong, very, very often.
Well, you got to have the setting just right, bro.
Yeah, but no. It's when you got the people that had the wrong head, and give them. Everybody's having a really good time, and then we had
personalities too. I mean,
the guide as well.
Cars crashing through houses and oh yeah, hey, this is not fun anymore.
No, well, if the person next to you, if you think he's an asshole, and then you drop, he's going to be a thousand times more of an asshole. So
yeah, but no,
you got to figure all that out. You know?
Oh no, you give them acid, and they'll be more fun. Uh huh. No.
No.
No. No. They were way more fun until the police arrived.
Yeah, until they were throwing fish and everything. Yeah.
Oh shit! Until the police were. See this? You know, I've never. The hardest thing I've ever tried in my entire life, let's see, was cocaine, and that's when I was really hanging out with white people.
cocaine's nothing.
I mean, because you know, I grew up in the hood. We couldn't afford the real shit. We had to do crack, and I didn't mess with that. So you know, so yeah. It was cocaine. And I'm like, and I never understood the appeal of it because it did nothing for me, absolutely nothing. And you know, drugs really don't have an effect on me, which sucks. That's why I basically don't bother.
I worked doing rock and roll. I worked 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Cocaine kept me awake. That's what it was for. It was a tool, and that's what we had to do. You did a gig. Gig got through at 3 o'clock in the morning. You packed up the gear, got it all loaded in the truck by 5. You drove for 7 hours. You unloaded the truck. You packed got everything set up on stage. The sound check at 8. Maybe you got to eat dinner, and then you did the show again. And that's why cocaine exists.
What's
a horrible drug.
What's that old line? Cocaine.
Not
is
according
God's,
to Rick James.
Cocaine's God's way of cocaine's God's way of telling you make too much money.
That's about right, Bob.
Oh, no, cocaine was included.
The only thing cocaine ever did for me was I just wanted more cocaine.
Then it gave me the shit, so you got the shit and you wanted more cocaine.
More cocaine.
8:07 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Steve has just taken the program into the gutter. Thank you, Steve.
I can't help it. I'm brutally honest, Bob.
We can go lower, Bob. We can go lower.
Oh, of course we can.
The thing was, I wasn't paying for it.
It's cut with ice.
Oh no, the free Scott, the free stuff is the best stuff.
That was it. It was there. They said, "Well, wow, did you have to ask?" I said, "No, man, we had fucking lines. There were rails laid out everywhere. Anytime I turned around, it was whoop, boom." They said, "Okay, right." That's what we did.
No, the first time I tried it back in the 80s.
Scott, did you like it? Be honest, brother.
Well, let me tell you.
Absolutely.
Yep.
That's cool. I arrived for work for the overnight shift at the radio station in the mid-80s. The woman who was on before me had some visitors in the studio, which is always an interesting sign.
So you found lines laying on the desk?
No, they invited me. They asked me if I wanted some. They were neighborly type, friendly, sharing.
Sure. Yeah, nobody twisted your arm or anything. Yeah.
No, and I said, well, you know, strangely enough, this is one of the few drugs that I've never tried before. So why not? And all it took was one good hit up the old proboscis.
Burn.
I knew that this was the stay away sign began flashing. Because I knew myself well enough by that point that I would just go into it with both feet.
Or nostrils, as the case may be.
Or both nostrils,
Okay.
I did. To answer your question, I liked it so much.
You liked it? Okay.
I saw the danger.
It gave you warnings.
And the reason, Steve, the reason it did what it did to you was because your shit had been stepped on from home to Rome, and it was full of baby laxative.
Yeah, probably. Immediately, my lower bowels just started twisting.
Oh, no.
God damn. It's like, fuck
my
it.
You guys, my ex-fiance did so much coke back in the day that he no longer, deviated septum? He knows no longer had the whatever that bone in your nose is.
Dear
or whatever.
God.
God. He had to have surgery to replace that shit.
You know what I thought? I thought the first time I ever learned how to rock that stuff up and smoke it, the first thought that came to my mind was, Jesus, look at all the freaking cocaine I wasted. That's when it became a problem, baby.
To be honest, the first time I found Leary, I thought I'd found the key to the universe. I really did. It changes the way you think.
Oh, and you talking about acid?
Yes.
Oh, and yeah. Doors are perception, baby.
When they're cleansed, you see things that they really are infinite, you know?
You know, I've always wanted. I've always wanted to try. Oh no! Wait. I. You know what else I've done? I've done ecstasy, and that's still. This is so funny. This is terrible. It was my 30th birthday. First of all, I was too fucking old to be doing ecstasy at 30. Okay. So second, everybody's like, I said it didn't have any effect on me. They're like, oh, you're lying, you're bullshit. They're like, how do you know it didn't have any effect on me? I said because the music still sucked. Because I was at a 30-year-old at a fucking rave. And I'm like, and the music still sucks. So I knew that the only thing it did was make me hella thirsty. And I'm like, okay, I'm about to burn up on my insides and die over some bullshit that didn't even work and listen to crappy-ass music being surrounded by children. Yeah.
Well, Tracy, you know that old gag, what did the deadhead say when the acid wore off?
Oh, no, what?
Span fucking sucks.
Bob.
I just got Bob. I'm in trouble.
You got
now.
A Bob.
I hear a deadhead in the room.
You can't get away with that one.
No, I love the dead too, but I mean it's just an old joke. But Tracy, yeah. I got to tell you. In the archives of all the times that Richard Pryor ever did his white guy voice, probably the best is when he describes his one and only experience with acid.
Oh God!
White dude walked up to me. White dude walked up to me, handed me this little bitty thing, and says, "You'll be tripping. Oh, you'll be tripping." I'm like, "Shit, that ain't shit. You'll be tripping."
And Tracy, if it would have been the best music you ever heard, you never heard it before, then that could have changed everything of how you see this thing going forward.
Right.
But you know, there are just people, and I'm one of them, who have no business getting anywhere near psychedelics. So don't feel bad.
No, I don't feel bad.
That was my first time, and I'm never going to go there again. But still, it was. It was an experience. It really was, you know.
Have you guys, speaking of cocaine, have you guys ever seen the Dave Chappelle skit when they do True Hollywood Stories and Eddie and Charlie Murphy talks about Rick James? I'm Rick James, bitch. But you know, and so you know, they actually have Rick James on there, and they have Dave Chappelle playing with Rick James, and he kept saying, "No, I never mess with cocaine," and all this is like, cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Well, what? Okay, so
Bob, you've managed to surprise me twice in recent weeks. The first time was that you were not a pipe smoker at some point in your life, you know, with the leather patches on your jacket, you know, on the elbows.
Yeah, I was a cigar guy.
And just now, when you said that psychedelics and you are not a good mix, a good match.
No, because my reality is weirder than your average acid head's trip, okay?
Yeah.
I just figured out early on it was a place I didn't need to be.
Wrap your head around that. Okay, well, how long did it take you to figure that out, Bob, from the time that you
freshman year freshman year in college?
Well, what about Pop?
It had to take at least 4 hours, though, before you say, oh, man.
Steve, you didn't listen, brother. Freshman year in college.
Oh, okay. It took you a year. All right. Well, that sounds about right, then.
That means that's an entire year of.
Yeah, well, I apologize, my friend. I didn't listen. Yeah, I got it now. I got it. Yeah.
Wait, the whole year?
Yeah, that
you know,
that sounds about right.
Yeah, weekend usually started on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
We called it STP.
And I generally stop seeing and hearing shit by Monday.
I've partied on both ends of the spectrum. I've partied with black people, and I'm sorry, by default, you know, nothing better than, you know, getting, when there's a thing truly white girl wasted, because see, I have never seen black people or a black woman get as drunk and as stupid as a white girl gets when she's drunk.
Where do you see them when they're on coke?
Tracy, that's really not fair, hon. I've seen all ethnicities pretty tore up, you know.
It's a different animal.
It's a different kind of wreck.
You know, here's the thing. White girls can get, when they're drunk, they can get away with stuff that black people cannot get away with. Like, for example, a white girl can walk up to a brother or whatever, and just like my son, classic example. We went out one night. Actually, it was my my wedding reception, and we were at a club or what have you, and this white girl, drunk off her ass, just came rolled up on my son and just took off his hat and put on her head, and it was just so cute and shit. And I'm like, see, these are the things that white women, when they're drunk, can get away with, because the average bitch would not walk a black woman walking up on somebody like that. No.
She didn't hurl all over him, did he?
No. It's just, okay. It's just something that they, you know, they're even more empowered with their whiteness, because it's like, oh, I'm cute, I'm a white girl, and I'm drunk, and I'm just excused from doing and saying, and I can say anything and do anything that I want to do, and nothing will happen to me.
Tracy, if you haven't yet, again, I go back to this, you've got to watch some Eliza Schlesinger.
Who?
Eliza Schlesinger stand-up. Mm-hmm. You will be devastated. Yes.
Eliza Schlesinger. I will have to Google her.
Yes.
Eliza Schlesinger. Okay. Okay.
She's got a riff on, you know, millennial drunk girls.
Ooh.
Oh yeah, it goes for days. Hey, let's see if we can pretend that we are the serious radio program that we occasionally try to the bamboozle people into thinking that we are.
Liar.
Yeah. They're, you're not helping again.
You're no fun. What the hell is wrong with you? You're no fun.
All right, folks. What we want you all to do is to go up and click on the donate link. Go to the tab and say, we want to make you a member.
Yes.
How's that?
Very good. We were talking earlier about Alan Weisselberg.
Oh, yes.
Not the CPA. They're the ones who always crack open the crime case, you know?
So the same woman that I played a clip from yesterday, who said, well, you know, 1981, 1982, it was a different time, and everybody said that word, and we did Jew jokes, too. And so, it's a thing that happened. So she was then interviewed by Ari Melber over on MSNBC when he was filling in for Chris Hayes. And here's the exchange. Do you think about Alan Weisselberg testifying before Congress, do you think there may be other hush money payments you don't know about?
Oh, maybe just a few, Bob. Well,
yes, she answered. How many? He asked. Just instinctively, lots.
Lots of them.
More than five? Probably.
Oh, much more.
More than 10? I can't say.
Okay.
But then she said, Trump would do that kind of thing, and Alan would be the guy who drew out the check. Probably Trump would sign it himself.
Just look for the file marked. Look for the file folder marked shit ton, and you will have found it.
Yeah. Oh, and just one other thing.
I just want to know what's in Pecker's safe, you know?
Ooh, well.
The tapes.
There's Pecker.
Yeah. See, you can't. You just can't do that.
Bezos exposes Pecker. Best headline.
Right.
Ever.
Yeah, I think that'll be the line of demarcation when future historians will say, well, the American political experiment and the American experiment in freedom of the press ended with the headline, Bezos exposes Pecker.
Oh, shit.
But I got one other thing that's kind of been on my mind all day. You know my dirty little habit in the morning.
Oh, yeah, Bob.
Why do you addict? Why the hell do you do that to yourself every day?
It's hard to quit.
It's the next best thing.
You don't, next thing you know, the veins start popping. You know, he gets a twitch about it. He's got to have it, baby.
So they were talking today about Uncle Mark Meadows.
Oh, God.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
And he said, and he made the send Obama back to Kenya remark not once. Yep. But twice. And when somebody finally called him on it, he said, well, anybody that knows me knows there's not a, and that word, racial bone in my body. Not racist, racial. Because, see, he's been schooled that right-wingers are not allowed to even say racist anymore. And in point of fact, just as an aside, Laura Ingraham, talking to CPAC, said, listen, if anybody calls you a racist, you just call them a racist back. Which is exactly how it played out there in that congressional hearing.
Rubber is you are glue.
Exactly.
But he needs to slap it.
But here's the thing. In the course of all of this, bless her heart, Mika rushed to the defense, and I was suitably impressed. She rushed to the defense of the member of Congress who called him out for using an African-American woman as a stage prop. And Mika defended her. But her name is R-A-S-H-I-D-A, Rashida. And Mika got through that okay. But, I mean, she fumbled hard on her last name. Because, and I just want to see if we can do this. Do you remember back that nasty-ass prison in Baghdad where we did those horrible things during Bush's war against the innocent people of Iraq?
Abu Ghraib.
Abu Ghraib, yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, there's nuances of pronunciation that, you know, probably that we have a hard time getting around because there are just combinations of consonants there that we're not used to as English speakers. Well, the same sort of applies because it's another Arabic word, because the congresswoman from the freshman congresswoman from Michigan is of Palestinian descent. And I forget, we were talking. Oh, it was back when I was talking with Lady B last week. And we were talking about the glories of the wire service pronouncer that would come out every morning. And for those who did, it would teach you how to say complex names without sounding like a doofus. And, you know, gone are the days. I don't know if they get those anymore or not, but not once, but at least twice, maybe three times, Mika referred to the freshman congresswoman from Michigan as Representative Rashida Tlaib. Now, her last name is spelled T-L-A-I-B. And just because a name is in a language with which you are not necessarily familiar does not give you a pass just to give up on it and not even try, especially if you're being paid millions of dollars a year to sit in front of a camera and say people's names. And so, and I mean, I can do it. We all here can probably do it. Her name is Rashida Tlaib, T-L-A-I-B. Rashida Tlaib.
Tlaib.
Rashida Tlaib. I don't think Mika Brzezinski could say her name if there was money riding on it.
No, she was paid not to.
Tlaib. I mean, it's like, goddamn! Do you guys get the hillbilly pronouncer every morning?
Yep.
And she's so very serious. And Representative Rashida Tlaib still deserves an apology from Mark Meadows. And I mean, the substance of the claim was right. But damn.
Well, the lady means well, Bob. She means well.
The AP pronunciation guide is your friend. Use it.
I don't even know if they've still put one out, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they would have to, because I see it. You know where I see it is in New York Times obituaries. If someone has an interesting last name or surname, sometimes they'll put in all caps in parentheses the pronunciation in a printed obituary.
The funny thing is, it's apparently a thing between those two on that program that they don't have to fool with learning people's names. So she just stumbled all over Rashida Tlaib, and that one guy that I've been following on Twitter lately, simply because he says such intelligent stuff, and in his discussions of wealth inequality, and I don't know the pronunciation rules. Suman, if you want to help, I'd welcome it. But,
yeah, I chuckle every time you say his name in a good way.
Because Joe, when he has him on, just sort of stumbles out, and he says, and we've got now Anon Jurtis. And even hillbilly me can tell that there's at least three more syllables going on there. Because I'm an old radio nerd, I actually look at names and try to dope them out. And as far as I can tell, it looks like it's Jared Aradis.
Well, his first name is easy, Bob. His first name is Anand.
Anand, right. Yeah, that part I can get through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But his last name is, it's pronounced like this, Giri Dhara.
Giri Taradas?
Giri Taradas.
Giri Taradas.
Glory hallelujah. I've been wanting to know. I mean, I like to know these kinds of things. Giri Taradas.
The quick and dirty pronunciation guide for people is if the last name is a challenge, start from the end of the name, work bit by bit backwards.
Exactly.
And you sound it. It's basic phonics, basically. And here's the deal about names, especially if someone has a different name, an odd name, an odd appearing name. All of us on the planet each has a name, okay? It is something that we are known by, and it's a matter of respect and common courtesy even to pronounce it according to that person's preference. I mean, it's the little things in life, I'm telling you.
And the funny thing is, when he's on that program, as soon as Joe is done trying to strangle himself with his tongue around his own tonsils, Anand will look at him and say, "Nice try." And but again, when we're talking about TLAIB, there's a significantly lower degree of complexity than Giri Taradas. See, I'm saying it over and over again, so I'll fix it in my brain. Thank you, Suman.
Okay. Everybody messes up his name as well. It's terrible.
But, I mean, it's just, well, that's true. But yeah, maybe I'm just being hard on them. But Jesus, if they're paying you a couple of mil a year, you know,
Joe, practice.
Yeah, make the effort.
No, see, our guest this morning. People's names don't matter because see, that's one of the things. Because I used to get shit about the way my name is spelled because you know it's really horrible because I spelled Tracy with two E's, and I know I've told you this story before. When I was in kindergarten, the old white woman who was my teacher told me that I didn't spell my name correctly. So I went home crying, you know, my little five-year-old self to my, let's see, how old was my mother when I was 5 years old? Yeah, 21. So my mom being, you know, the amazing and strong black woman that she was, still is, she went up to that school with, and I can remember the outfit. I mean, there's some things that are burnt into your memory that, you know, she walks up in there. She had on her Afro puff, her white hot pants with a green top and her go-go boots, right? And in not so many terms, and not no, on certain terms, told that old white woman, as long as you remain white, and your ass points to the ground, don't you ever talk to my daughter and tell her that she is spelling her name wrong. That is her name, and that's how I spelt it. Get it? Got it? Good. And so I've noticed that white people, when it comes down to saying names that, you know, are quote-unquote foreign, it is beneath them because it's like it's a microaggression. It is a true microaggression when people do not take the time to try to pronounce somebody's name correctly. It is the ultimate. It is the meaning.
Well, and the flip side
exactly
of that, Tracy.
I don't give a shit about Tracy.
Right. The flip side of that is, you know, making the effort is a sign of respect. And so what was getting me this morning is she's sitting there talking about how much respect Representative Tlaib deserves, and she can't even. And I got so frustrated. I added the damn booth at the Twitter account of Morning Joe. I said, can one of you people just whisper in her IFB and tell her it's not Tlaib?
Yeah.
I mean,
our guest this morning is the esteemed Russian venereal disease expert, Dr. Yuri Rostrikakov. Good morning, Dr. Rostrikakov.
Hey, we've got Todd over on the stress line.
Oh, I heard that coming.
Hey, Todd.
Hey, Todd.
Happy Friday to everybody.
I told you, Todd. I told you it was the stress line.
So, Todd, what's on the grill?
Oh, yeah.
What's on the grill? You know what's on the grill?
It's food porn time,
rain.
Man.
Rain is on the grill. Oh. I was waiting for that.
Todd, have you liked Washington General the last few days, man?
Hickory smoked rain.
Steve, you know what? Yeah. Oh, my God, Steve. I have to tell you, Steve, for once. Give me yeah. like 30 seconds.
Me,
to talk with you.
Yeah, me and Brother Todd, man. We got to suffer
this. I'm serious,
this
man. This is why you asked me, like, 2 months ago, are you going to get a Twitter account? Because I can see, man, the stuff that is going on. On Washington. Oh, God. This is, these people are, I mean, we're in trouble. People are out of control. They're out of control. What do you think, Steve?
They wouldn't even mention the hearing that actually showed Trump for the lying ass he really was. They didn't even mention it. They talked about, you know, Kim Jong-un. They talked about other things, but The hearing that really counted went under the radar.
Sure,
of
course.
Well, I'm so glad. Steve, it's been so much. Like, certain callers, like, I see now why you said what you said, because there's certain, this is some crazy stuff. Oh, and while we're talking about, I always wanted to ask you this, Steve. And everybody, whoever listens to Washington Journal, there's a guy, I'm not going to say his full name, even though he calls once a month, every month, from this place called Ella J, Georgia. All right? And I was on the map.
His name is Joe McCutcheon. I'll tell you. His name is Joe McCutcheon, and he's on the radio once a month out here, too. So,
woo!
If you can't get enough of them on Washington Journal, you tune them in. You know,
I've got to start calling in to Washington Journal for you guys to give you some relief.
I remember when you did call, Scott. Yeah, you did good too, man. That's been a year and a half ago, but you did.
Oh shit! I almost had a heart attack.
His name is Joe McCutcheon. Google him.
So what is he trying to turn into, like a YouTube celebrity by troll calling Washington Journal? Is that it?
I can't say this for 100% sure because I don't want to get dragged to the court or anything. But the best I understand it, and I could be wrong because I'm human, is that he owned a bunch of carpet mill factories out in
up in Dalton,
part of Georgia. Yep, yes, sir.
Carpets of Dalton.
Yeah, that's why he's such a fan, because he likes, you know, being able to pay somebody $3 an hour, you know?
Holy shit.
Hey,
heartless bastard.
Hey, y'all, real quick, we got a new subscriber. Thank you to Mark. Thanks, Mark. Mark just became a new subscriber, and we've only got $113.33 to go to finish Shirley's challenge in the next 24 minutes.
Outstanding choice, Mark. And
how much, Bob?
$113.33.
You dropped a little bit more.
Now, okay, here's the deal. Okay, now I'm saying this. I tell you people this all the time. I will take care of the sick.
It ain't gonna work, Tracy.
I know. But I'm gonna do $23 and how much? What's the cent?
33 cents.
So 20, because it's 113, right?
$113.33.
So $23. And whatever the cents is, and now that'll break it down to $90, right?
Yes, it will, for about 15 seconds.
Oh, I did the math. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. We'll call it Tracy, all you can eat, stay away from the gas station sushi challenge.
Okay, Tracy's stay away from the all-you-can-eat gas station sushi challenge is on the clock with 23 minutes to remain in the program, with a matching challenge of $23.33, which that means that somebody else is going that we're going to have $23.33 kicked in. Tracy, you
no, just tell $23 or just make
$67.
Okay, but it's on the clock, and that'll take us down to $70 if we can do that.
So we only need seven people to donate $10. Wipes that out.
Bob. Right.
That's Bob, an easy pay. Bob.
Oh, no. You've violated.
Knock it down to 60. I'll send you money order tomorrow or Monday when I pay the rent for 10.
Okay. Well, what you just did is you just did $10 of the 23 challenge that Tracy's got on the table.
Yeah.
Okay, so that means we've got $13 to go on Tracy's challenge, and then that will in turn leave us with $70 to go after that.
Seven people, $10.
Plus one person at 13.
For such fine entertainment, you cannot find a better deal.
Well, how many radio programs are out there look, how many radio programs are there out there where you can actually learn how to professionally pronounce difficult names?
No place, Bob. No place. And I am not a proud man at all. I've been mistakenly pronouncing her name. So I've learned something right here on the horn that I didn't know before I got here, baby.
Well, I wasn't gooning on you, brother. I didn't hear you doing it.
I'm just stressing it. This is a source to learn things that you don't know. And this Bob's voice goes a long way. You get a little education in it for that $10, baby.
If you can learn one thing a day, every day of your life, you're way ahead. Just one thing.
And if you stop
on this show, you learn like multiple things.
Yes. Get enlightened, educated, and get a laugh at the same time. Where else could you find such fine entertainment like that? So I've never.
those ignoramuses or whatever at CPAC or whatever you want to call them.
Hey, Rick. Hey, Rick.
That's right.
I think it wrapped up today. I'm not sure if it's going tomorrow or not, but yeah.
Wait, did I see a tweet? Did I see a tweet on your Facebook, on your Twitter feed about the pillow guy and Jesus? What was that about?
I had the audio last night. They invited the My Pillow guy to speak at CPAC.
Oh, God. Yeah.
And he declared that God himself sent Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah.
To
yeah.
make America you great
know,
again.
Is
that possible?
And I'm so glad that I am really glad that I never did, because had I known, had I bought one and didn't found out that that asshole was a Trump supporter, it would have really pissed me off that I spent money on anybody that supports Trump.
Tracy, mm-hmm. Yeah. I will send you a visual of the patent that this guy has for his supposed revolutionary pillows, and you can make one.
Okay.
I'm always brutally honest with you guys, and I like my pillow.
Patent infringement. Way to go, Scott.
No, you're not cashing in on it. You're taking information that is publicly available through the patent office and saying, what a nifty idea. I bet you I can make one of those for my own personal use.
But I have also been subsequently told it's like sleeping on packing foam.
No, yeah, I heard that too. I heard it's noisy.
But I'm just telling you from my own personal experience, it's an excellent pillow.
I don't
care if he's a right-wing toy, if he's from Mars.
I'm just afraid it would make my brains leak out in the middle of the night, and I'd wake up the next morning and run out and get a MAGA hat. My TV wouldn't get anything but Fox anymore, and I'd walk around saying things like, "That Jeanine Pirro, she sure does have a sexy voice."
I don't have an agenda. I really don't. I'm just being honest.
Let me tell you
something. I've always been honest with you people.
Let me tell you something.
We're happy with that, but we're going to keep an eye on you.
You folks. Oh, God damn. I knew Drake was going to jump all over that.
Let me tell you something.
Hey, come here.
Let me tell you what I know about. No, I'm not going to go.
Here's the deal on the My Pillow guy. This is truth. This is gospel. I'm his truth. First of all, he has huffed too many microscopic fibers from pillow stuffing.
Well, no, see, that's the thing. Part of his shtick yesterday, Scott, was all about how I was a broken man, addicted to alcohol and drugs and the sexy time. And then I found Jesus, and Jesus gave me a pillar. And I made pillars, and then Donald Trump come along, and we're going to make America great again because Jesus.
I used to be messed up on drugs, and now I'm messed up on Jesus.
Well, I hate being a part of this.
What's the freaking difference?
They hate it. All right, I'm going to take them out and burn them tomorrow. I'll take video of it so you guys will like me.
No, you didn't. Now quit that. Get off the cross. Steve, get off the cross. We need the fucking wood.
We need the goddamn wood.
Yeah.
It's drugs
and you can't set fire to one of those things because the EPA will show up on your doorstep because there's enough noxious chemicals in those goddamn things to form a chemical weapon.
You want to make a vet, those things? It brings little flame. You want to make a vet?
No, listen, Steve. You didn't know who you were supporting with your purchase. It's probably a good product in its essential self. It's just that he gives money. It's like, I'll never buy Jimmy Dean sausage again. 30 years ago, I saw him on some show saying that he was sending a nickel from every pack of sausage he sold to Oliver North's senatorial campaign in Virginia.
Scott, you're still using his voiceover? I mean, he's been dead from the 60s.
How long has he been dead?
Oh, at least 10 years.
Yeah, and they're still using his voiceovers on his commercials.
Where's the L. Ron Hubbard, DC Andrews? What? I'm sorry. Should I say?
Who's using the voiceover?
Jimmy Dean.
Oh, Jimmy Dean.
And yet Pat Boone still lives. What, Sparky?
Can we hear some Pat Boone metal by
no.
Bob?
No. Yeah, no, goddammit, no.
Yeah. Yeah. Bid for leather.
No,
come on.
No, don't do
just,
it. No.
Just Pat Boone metal.
Hey, thank
you. I've endured man eggs. You cannot make me. You don't.
Pat Boone metal.
You know what?
Yeah.
Uh-oh, sounds like Tracy may be getting exhausted again. I mean, that's just too much. a couple of things in amongst all the madness. Thanks going out to Earther, and thanks going out to Darlene in Connecticut. We got $34 to go.
Okay.
Outstanding, people. Outstanding.
I'll give you 50 if we do Pat Boone metal.
There you go,
Bob. Oh, that's a shitty thing to do to a man.
It's called a great good, Bob.
Take one for the team, Bob.
You gotta do it, Bob.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
You know what? That's some fucked up shit.
How are you all getting all excited?
I don't know who that caller is, but I love you, bro.
I hate every single one of you motherfuckers. Right now,
Steve, you know who this is.
That Cletus?
The bills have to be paid, Bob.
I know. I'm old and...
Is that Cletus barking?
No, Cletus is in the room with Gareth.
That's my puppy.
Oh.
All right. I think I've got the clip.
Yeah. Good. $50, man.
All right, everybody got to be quiet. Here we go.
Insert hockey puck. Bite down.
Yeah. Oh no, I've got. Yeah. The minute I press the button, the hockey puck's going in, and probably hear some in the background. All right.
There we go.
The things I do as a radio semi-professional. Jesus, I hate myself. I'm showering with bleach after the program's over.
You can do it.
I got you, Todd. You're there.
Take me down to the paradise city where the grass is green and the girls are pretty. Take me on. Take me down to the paradise city where the grass is green and the girls are pretty. Won't you please take me on?
Had enough?
I'm crying. Yeah. I'm
no, wait, no, yeah, now you got me started. Now you got me started. Now you got me started. Fuck all of y'all, okay? I mean, yeah.
What you got? What you got better?
Crazy. Hey, but that's how it goes. Millions of people living as fools. Maybe it's not too late to learn how to love and forget how to hate.
What I love on that track is how the background vocals go, choo choo crazy. That's it. Yeah,
that was great. Whoever did that, thank you, man.
I have not heard you say that horrendous since they were still in black music right back in the day and rewriting it so Pat Boone could sing it. Holy fucking God. What the? What? Okay, I'm about to have an aneurysm. Good God Almighty!
I better pee my pants.
Need a, you need a swig of hot sauce for that, Tracy. It's a vasodilator.
Okay, because right. I'm about to get my fucking inhaler. Oh my God!
You know you have it in your purse, right, Tracy? Yeah, you have it right there in your purse, right?
Yes, I do. I have my inhaler.
Every once in a while, we need some metal Boone. It keeps us grounded, takes us away.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, metal Boone is a, that's like that goes back a long way.
That's the funniest shit. Is it possible to rinse your ears out with bleach?
No. Don't try it. You can't do it.
Hey, y'all.
I understand the people at Shiny Heiny are working on a new product. Just stay tuned, baby.
You've heard it, haven't you, Uncle John? Or is this the
John,
first
you have, John, you've never heard of Metal Boone?
Metal Boone?
Oh, no, this is the first time I've heard it. I missed out on all the excitement.
This broke my cherry too. I had never heard this shit before in all the years. Somehow I have managed to never hear this shit in all the years I've been listening to this show. And today, really, this is what y'all do. I could.
Hey John, you're enlightened now. You are in line, John,
you can program Alexa to sing it to you to sleep.
I have Alexa. Tell her to shut her mouth and she ever plays
shit. You got it, John. You got to talk about this on your show and get Travis to play it now that you got a mixer.
John, you can't tell people about Metal Boone.
Yeah. John, carry the football, brother. You have to, man.
That's Boone.
Metal Boone, yeah.
Actually, the name of the album, if we want to be correct about it, is Pat Boone in a Metal Mood.
and he's sitting there with a leather jacket on. No bullshit.
Are we talking?
Wait. Cowbell for Darlene in Connecticut. Pat Boone, the seriously poor man's Bobby Darin.
You know what, Bob?
We're going to search that out. We'll put it on the show, Bob. I'm going to put that on and call you out, buddy.
Is today the 1st of March? Today's the 1st of March, right?
Yes, it is.
So yesterday was the end of Black, was probably with the worst Black History Month ever.
I don't think there's any question of that. I agree.
And so now you have officially ushered in the first day of White History Month, right? Because right there.
Oh, I prefer to think of it as White Shame Month, Tracy, but, you know.
Okay.
If there was ever anything as white as this, this is whiter than mayonnaise. This is
look at the things he has to do just to pay the bills.
It's supposed to be, sweetheart.
This is a miracle with you guys. This is whiter than a Velveeta sandwich on Wonder Bread with Miracle Whip sandwich. This is it.
Well, David in South Carolina, Stan, informs us that's actually Pat Boone's evil twin, Axel Boone.
Axel Boone? Axel Boone.
Now, Bob?
I'm done with you guys. I hate you all.
No, you don't. You love
it. Here's something that you probably don't know or have forgotten if you did know it. Back when Pat Boone did his, he was pictured in leather and chains on the cover of his album, his metal album. He had a show on TBN, Trinity Broadcasting, and he was fired from that gig because, honest to God, Paul and Jan Crouch went batshit crazy that Pat Boone had gone leather metal on them.
Well, Scott, him and Ozzy Osbourne were next door neighbors. They adored each other, man.
Really?
Yeah. Tutti frutti, all rooty.
And that's how this whole Metal Boone came to fruition, you know.
That's just the most horrible
thanks,
thing
Ozzy.
I have ever but, seen.
Thank Ozzy. Oh, my
God. Yeah, you'll be the weekend getting over it. Hey, I want to I want to throw one last thing out there for our consideration on the way out the door.
That was great.
Because as our buddy Texas T pointed out, well, I'll be damned, Bob. You all in West Virginia managed to outdo us here in Texas stand today. And yes, we did. Oh, yes, we did.
That was great.
What are your records?
Well, what happened was, we've got ourselves a real maggot infested Republican legislature. And
in West
Virginia
or in the country?
No, in West Virginia.
Oh, okay.
I mean, this is the same legislature that can't even bring itself to censure a member for comparing gay people to the Klan. That happened earlier.
Boy,
so imagine the surprise of members of the legislature and the public who walked into the rotunda of the Capitol today to see a booth that was sponsored by the West Virginia Republican Party that featured a picture of the planes flying into the Twin Towers. Mm-hmm. And captioned, "Never forget, you said." Underneath it is a picture of Representative Ilhan Omar, an actual sworn member of the House of Representatives of the United States of America, with the caption, "I am the proof you have forgotten."
Oh, my God. That's disgusting.
That is disgusting, Bob.
Oh, it's fucking sickening.
I believe there has to be a lawsuit. Somebody has to say something about that shit.
Well, okay, when the Republicans got called out on it, when the Republicans got called out on it, John, they said, "Well, we may not agree with the speech, but we got free speech, so we got to be free. We got to be free to hate people."
We have the freedom to be ignorant. We have the freedom to be a racist. We have the freedom to be all of those things. But those of us that aren't those things need to point the fuckers out that are. And you know what they are. They're ignorant scumbags. So just get them the hell out of here.
Problem.
Ah, but, next time I get all pissed off.
Rick,
that just pisses me off.
Rick, yeah. How do we do this? You can't do it.
Yes, we can, baby. We do it every day with the voice to vote, and it keeps getting other people involved. That's how we do it. We do it by turning those Republican senators
step
up there.
Step by step,
baby.
Solution, make not a legal solution.
Make them defend a lying-ass con man over and
John,
over. Later they
John,
gotta get,
good, baby. good speech, but how do we get them to listen?
How do we get them to listen? There's going to be a certain percentage of them that aren't. The only Republicans and conservatives that we can reach out to are those with a half a brain left in their head. You're not going to hit that 37% down there. We don't give a shit. They're racist assholes. They're not going to change. Gun baby in their box, and they think God gave them the right to kill anybody.
Well, and see, John, that's the problem. That is not a vote loser in a state like West Virginia. That's a vote getter.
Yeah, that's it. Those guys who vote that way win.
Here's the sickest part of it. And we really can make them wear it because that display was part of WVGOP Day at the Capitol.
WVGOP.
There you go.
And so here's my only deal. I mean, we in West Virginia, a lot of our doctors are Middle Eastern and South Asian,
and they can't
pronounce their names either. You're absolutely right. But here's the thing: what I want these assholes to do is not go to those physicians.
Well, if they were
you know when they, you know when they because this is a sacrifice zone. There's cancer all over the place because of mountaintop removal, and when they get the diagnosis, I want these goddamn Republicans to not go to the Muslim oncologist.
There you go.
And frankly, I think, and look, you know, maybe that's where we are in America. Maybe we've reached a place where it's all about the accommodations. You know, if the evangelical, if the evangelicals want to refuse to bake a cake for a gay couple, then a gay business owner can ask people, "I'm sorry, are you a Southern Baptist? You are? Get the fuck out."
The fuck out, you're in.
Yeah.
Well, and in fact, I had a story in the last week or so about a business owner, and I can't remember where he was, but he put a sign on his door saying, "If you're a Trump supporter, don't come in. I would rather go out of business than stay in business with your filthy, racist, bigoted money."
Good for him.
Right. But Bob, when you get medical industry, you've got people that really, they do this because they want
to. How does it feel to be off tomorrow?
Yeah, well, they do. They're doing this because they care.
Right. And I care.
I can't hear you. I hear what's up, man.
I'm not gonna refuse service because somebody's sick.
No, because they're decent human beings. The Republicans.
I am a decent human being.
Right, and the Republicans aren't.
They aren't.
That's well, the point.
I thought my mom's a nurse.
Tracy's still here. Hi, Tracy.
Of course she is. She used to do in-home health care, and she had a patient up in Tehachapi. And Tehachapi is not, you know, they don't have a lot of black folks there. So she goes, the woman answers the door, and she sees my mother, you know, the regal ebony goddess that she is. And looks at her and says, "Well, is there anybody else that, you know?" Basically, she saw my mother and said, "You know what? I don't want you touching me because black."
Sure, so, there's somebody else. It's Dr. Death. He's coming right behind.
This is what happened.
Yeah, here. His name is Jack.
This is what my mother did. She called her office and told her supervisor, "This is what happened." And she's like, "Do not send such and such. Such and such and such and such." There were other nurses that were black. And so her supervisor realized, got what she was saying. It's like this old white woman didn't want the black nurse touching her. And so my mom's like, "Okay, no problem. So there'll be another nurse here to see you later." And she's like, "Well, how much later?" My mom's like, "Oh, in about 4 hours." And then so the lady's like, well, you know what? That's okay. You could take, you could, that, I'm ready. You could do my visit." Now my mom's like, no. You
done set the wheels in motion.
I'm on my way to another call, sweetie. So you will sit here and you will have to wait for the nurse that, you know, for a nurse that you feel is more qualified to see you. And on that, my mom turned on her heel.
Good on her.
Out the door.
I'm proud of your mama.
Good for her.
Wipe the dust off her shoes. Exactly.
And she probably said, "Damn it, too."
Well, hey, guy.
She could come back with a nice pie, though, for her.
It's time to go, Bob.
Yeah, it is time to get out of here. Thanks, everybody. With the playing of the Pat Boone, that should mean that we are done with fundraising.
Democrats and Republicans.
And that we have met Shirley's memorial challenge for this first day of March 2019. Thanks, everybody. And thanks for a magnificent conversation, one and all. Hey, John, you going live in a minute?
No. I'm going live on Tuesdays and Thursdays now. I don't want to. I tell everybody, baby. I told them today. I did my rant. I'm going on the Bob Kincaid Show, and I'm trying to pull as many blue dots over here. We want to mix this family up.
Well, bless your heart. I sure do appreciate it. We're gonna. Uh-huh. If we're not careful, we're gonna build a movement. So,
can we stay? Are we live here?
I'm not gonna be. I don't know what's going.
Yeah, Bob's leaving.
I don't know, because I got to upload the program and everything. But, again, we've met Shirley's challenge, thanks to, I guess, Pat Boone.
I owe you something. Tell me, what do I owe you?
Oh, $34.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Come up.
Thank you.
Outstanding.
And
a small price, people, for a valuable voice.
So we will be back on Moran Monday. God only knows what the weekend holds. You know, it's you know, you just wait. I go to sleep every night and wonder if I'm going to wake up all dead. You just don't. God, and we didn't get to Otto Warmbier's parents, those poor broken-hearted people. had to listen to Donald Trump kiss Kim Jong-un's ass when that man had him exactly beaten to death.
That's exactly it.
But there will be an abundance when we get back on Monday. Thanks, everybody. Thanks to all of you who keep the program going. Thanks to our subscribers, and thanks to everybody who chips in during the live program. Thank you to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. Celebrating 20 years at the point of the spear in the human rights struggle against mountaintop removal in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Later, y'all.